Hello.
Hold on one second, hon.
Okay, I don't know what's going on.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
It's Raven's Nest Vampire Radio, and it is Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. So right now we're just waiting on Demon Boy to call in, and then we'll get to the Q&A and the whole nine yards.
Boo. Oh. Boo, I'm already here.
Oh, hell yeah. I've got to talk to my brother.
Hey, Demon Boy.
I've been spying
both
on you.
Both brothers.
Hey.
How's everybody doing?
Fine. All right, Demon.
Well,
I haven't had to catch my breakfast yet, but, you know, yeah.
I got a lot of brothers, a lot of sisters.
I don't know if I'm on or not.
Yeah, you're on, hon.
Oh,
you're on,
okay. Yeah. Hi, Demon Boy. It's Lady Sonia Lorraine, Celebrity Psychic.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
You going to read my mind?
No, you know, that's...
Hey.
That's a misconception. We're not mind readers. We're not fortune tellers. We pick up on your vibration. However, I've been doing it since I was three.
Oh, my.
Unless
and
you're telepathic.
And it runs in our family. And we're non-peers. We're not vampires. We're non-peers.
I see.
I
okay.
just wondered if you knew the difference between a non-peer and a vampire.
Well, I guess I know now. I learned something today. It's been a good day.
Hey, calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah. So, but I have seen things. We get visions, we get dreams, we get picture words in our head, and we
see
it.
Nice.
So that's
nice.
How we read people. We read you.
Nice.
So can you read me?
Hey, is there?
I don't see
a
pastel blue tiles. I see pastel blue small tiles when you spoke. That's
hey,
it.
Damien, is there a chat room on the Blog Talk site? Because I'm not picking it up.
Yeah. Yeah, if you go on there, there's a little tab that says chat. Click on that. You might have to sign in, register first. It's free.
I already am. You know what? I don't think I'm going to bother going in there. I'll let just the kids and people go in there.
All right. Yeah, I'm sitting in there right now, so, you know, we'll let you know if anybody's got anything
too.
That...
I've never heard a demon with an East Coast or Brooklyn or New Jersey accent. It's quite interesting.
Yes. I have a heavy New York accent for sure. You want me to say coffee? We say coffee around here, not coffee.
Nice hearing your voice, brother.
What's going on, Damien?
I bet I want to suck
hey,
your blood.
Well, that's actually Paul talking to you right now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the sound off here. We got... Lady, what's your name again?
Paul,
Lady Sonia Lorraine.
We got Darcy. I'm Dee.
Yep.
AKA Damien Nightwalker. We got Paul. Got DB in here. Demon Boy. Is that you, Midnight?
We're getting feedback. Somebody do me a favor. Shut off their. If they're sitting near a computer, turn it down or shut it off. You'll be able to
Hello?
Hear us.
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I'm not in front of my comp, so I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I just
don't
know who's running their comp in the background because we're getting feedback there. So
hey, so Paul's on the line right now, Paul?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Hey, man, what's happening? So I finally get to speak to you now.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I finally put a voice to the face, eh?
There you go.
Hey. Hello.
Well, first, I want to thank you guys for having me on tonight, and I also want to thank all the fans that I know are tuned in right now, because my Facebook page has been blowing up all day. Everybody very excited about tonight.
Yeah, man, we're just sitting here going, all right, we're got to – okay, we got Chris Cyanide, who's also over in the – DJ Cyanide over in the chat room here as well.
DJ Cyanide is actually Chris Cyanide. That is Demon Boy's bass player.
Yeah, so he's in there.
Nice.
So everybody's joining in here.
Awesome.
So we're just gonna, yeah, definitely.
Hello, Demon Boy. This is Francine from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, my God, Francine. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. What's up? Yeah, you've got a really good accent there.
Oh, thanks. So I know there's an Ohio accent. I can't say any words in it, but I used to know somebody there, and there's a distinctive tone to people from Ohio as well. I want to thank you, Francine. Francine, if you guys don't know, a huge Demon Boy supporter. She actually runs a Extreme Demon Boy fan page out of Ohio for us, and she's just been a huge supporter.
It's Michigan.
That's
she's
awesome.
Michigan, yeah.
So that's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see you on tour here, man.
Oh,
I should work on doing
something
for you in Canada, brother.
Well, I'd love to. You know, I haven't been up to Canada or even in the Ohio area in about a little over 2 years. Was the last time I toured through that way. Yes, we were up there with one of my first lineups of the band. We did tour for about 7 or 8 weeks in that area. So we're looking to get back. We're actually trying to set up something. I want to give a shout-out to Isaac Hare and his band Sleaze. Isaac is actually Doyle from the Misfits' stepson.
Ah,
he's a really cool guy. They were on tour this summer, and we played with them here over in New Jersey and became good friends with them. And we are trying to set up a tour where we'll cut across from New York and come through Ohio and Michigan on our way to Chicago to play with Isaac and his band, Sleaze. So none of that has been written in stone just yet. It's all in phone calls and talking
Isaac
to people.
Sleaze.
Is that Isaac right there?
Yes, it is, brother.
I was just pimping you out, bro.
Wow.
I was just pimping you out.
It is for bleeding.
Isaac, what band do you play with?
I'm in a band called Sleaze. I'm coming from Rockford, Illinois. It's close by Chicago.
I'm going to have to check that one out.
We got the opportunity to play with Demon Boy when we came through New Jersey at the Blue Room, and it was a great experience. They totally blew my mind. I really enjoyed it, and I'm totally looking forward to going with Demon Boy on the road and playing some more shows with them soon.
Good.
Awesome.
That's a good one, yeah.
So are we.
Yeah, Demon Boy,
a
friend of mine that plays for Malice Cooper USA is looking to tour with you.
The guy from Malice Cooper, his name's escaping me right now. What's his first name again?
Genghis John.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I just recently hooked up with him online, too, about a couple months ago. I would love that. What we've been doing with some of our past shows is we've been getting, you know, he's in the Alice Cooper tribute band. We've been having the tribute bands open up for us lately, and it seems to be a working combination, so I would absolutely love to get out there and play with him.
When will you be on the west coast of the United States?
Okay, again, that's another thing we're working.
Vegas,
yeah,
Boston.
We're trying to get as many places as we can this year. We have some international tours that are being booked right now, as well as trying to get as much. Everybody in the band knows this. I know Isaac knows this. It is so expensive to tour, and it takes a lot of pre-planning to get things going when your bands that are in, like, you know, situations like ours. You know, we're not exactly floating in dough over here. So it is a long thing to get it booked and get all the planning down and then finally get on tour. So what you could do is keep checking on my web pages, you know, demonboyband.com, check my Reverb Nation page and, of course, Facebook, and you'll see the shows being posted and the tours being posted. As soon as I get the green light, everything's posted online.
Well, I hope that you play at BB's Clubhouse, their new club opened by Scott Zander.
Nice.
In Las Vegas, and they're a great club, and it's helped run by Tommy Ray Brown. And then also for spring break, there's the Topak 66, and there's Hooches. There's a lot of places around that pay. It's not you paying to play. They actually pay.
Well, that,
because that's the problem on the West Coast, you know.
Yeah, that's something I actually wanted to talk about with the music industry right now. Is it got so disgusting with this pay-to-play thing now.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is understandable that the club
mm-hmm.
owners have an overhead. They've got rent to pay just like you pay rent at your apartment or your home. So they're also trying to pay the national acts, but they're coming up with such outrageous deals for opening bands. I was recently trying to open up for a very low-end national act, and I mean, it was just outrageous. They expected, they want you to advance them like so much money, and it was in, let me tell you, it was in four figures.
Yeah, they
and,
always seem they want you to sell your tickets. So you got to sell your tickets to make money.
It's like you bring your group, you bring your fans. It's the old days. But that was for garage fans, you know. At BB's, I went to their grand opening on the 27th and 28th. My girlfriend played both nights. It was no cover, and they paid.
Well, you know, there are
wow.
bars that do uh-huh. it. The funny thing that I found is I was staying away from sort of smaller venues and stuff because our show is kind of big. It takes a lot of stage room for us to get everything up there.
This place is so big. They've got even next to the ice skating palace, they've got all the grounds, like, you know, when the Rainbow does that thing,
right.
the Blues Festival. Well, he owns all that, so... I'm trying to work a thing for my Battle for the Babies and Fashion to Fight the Fiends, is a thing I do. But it's humongous. It's not like – and he just opened it, and he's trying to make the venue for the musicians again. And it's about time.
Vegas. Things
yeah.
are starting to change yeah. and go in that direction. What I was
right.
what I was saying was I went to some of these smaller clubs, and it turned out that they were paying very decent amounts of money to play in these small local bars because the clubs were packed. They're not charging the high admissions that some of the city clubs and
fine.
The bigger clubs, and
okay.
that's shying everybody away. You know, most people with the economy nowadays don't have $60 or $70 to go piss away and throw out for a night
right.
out. But can't charge people $10, $15,
exactly.
and $20 to get in the door, expect them to come in and pay for drinks, and then you're having the bands but like buy
exactly.
the tickets in
and
advance.
And there's no cover at BB's Clubhouse and Event Center in Las Vegas.
And that is the trend that's been happening. If they let the
yeah.
people in for free, they will still spend the same money that was coming in the door
exactly.
will be spent at the bar.
Yeah.
Okay, so they get their money either way.
And the restaurant. And, you know, they need to do that. But a lot of people aren't investing the money. It's like selling something for $1 million instead of selling a million things for a dollar. That concept has escaped a lot of so-called business people. Yeah.
That's pretty much it. We have the same thing going on here. I mean, so, you know, it's just the way it is, and unfortunately you got to, you know, deal with it, and you got to work accordingly and work in and around it. The band's just got to be smart, you know. Just be careful where you play. And a lot of the younger kids don't be so starstruck to play these places and pay all this money to get in there unless you're going to get something out of it. You know, a lot of times...
Right.
You know, when we go and we play a show, if I have to do a pay-to-play situation, I make sure that I'm going to walk out of there with something for that money. If we're going to lose money by paying a club owner an exorbitant amount of money to get in there, I want to get something out of that. I just don't want to get a night out playing with my band. I can go to my studio and do that and have the same fun. I mean,
when
we play out, it's about the fans, and I don't want to rape my fans every penny they got just to get in a club. It's like, let them into the club, let them see the show, let them have a good time, let them spend money at your bar. And what a lot of the clubs have been doing, we're going over to Japan soon, and what a trend that's over there that's starting to pick up here is they're giving a band a percentage of the bar after they make a certain amount of money to cover their overhead. And that is actually a better deal than charging people at the door.
Oregon.
Yeah,
that
is slowly coming around, and possibly within the next 2 years you might see that being the mainstream way for paying bands.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they got to do something different because it's just what they're doing now just mainstream-wise just isn't working.
It,
you know?
That is true.
Music.
You're not
going to music died.
Yeah, like I said, you come out, I come out and play the small bars, and they're packed. I mean, there's 200 people in a bar.
Yeah, man.
Why? Because they didn't have to pay $10, $13, $15 to get in, so people are just pouring in.
Yep.
So maybe a group of five people come in, three of them are going to drink. Even if two of them don't drink, three of them are going to drink, but you got all those people in the bar being packed, and you're having fun. It's a great night, and everybody wins.
I'm happy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, don't need to drink to have a good time.
Club.
Just having a good time listening to the band play. Hey.
Hell yeah.
I like that.
Hey, I love all kinds of music in that, and Demon Boy's one of them. Even though I have never seen him play yet, I've seen videos of him and all that, and I just love this shit. Pardon my friend.
Brother, I'm working on coming up there soon, so.
Awesome.
Looking
forward
to it.
Okay. Are you on Facebook? Yeah, speaking of videos, if I can interject here, we got so many people talking, I don't know what direction I'm going.
Yeah. That's funny.
We got
a lot of people on there.
Yes, there's a lot of people there. Our Ravenous video, which we released about 6 or 7 weeks ago, is just about to hit its 100,000 view mark. Want to thank everybody for that. I went on a huge marketing campaign, and I sent that video to as many websites as I could. As a little hint, guys, you want to know how to get your video viral? Follow me.
I got it
out there. It's going great. My Little Red Riding Bitch video is over
half a million.
Wow. Yeah, and speaking of that, the people that know that Little Red Riding Bitch is inside the Cannibal Dinah horror movie, it came out in October right here in the United States. You can go to brinkvision.com and you can order Cannibal Dinah, the American version, inside when you get the it's a DVD. There is a special Blu-ray edition. Inside both of them, you can get the video comes with it. It also comes with a lot of special features and extras that you won't see in the regular feature or that people haven't seen on the Internet. So pick up Cannibal Dinah, and if anybody from Germany's tuning in, Silver Line Entertainment, that's their local pay-per-view, it's now on pay-per-view over there in Germany. So if you have that cable service, Silver Line, you can now see Cannibal Dinah, and the video's also featured when you buy that.
I've not seen The Ravenous. I saw the other one. Where is The Ravenous at?
You could just go to Demon Boy Band YouTube and / Demon Boy Band and just punch in Ravenous by Demon Boy and it should come immediately up. But it's on my home page right on my channel.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I had a big question here, guys. Hold on a second. Any chances you might be doing any shows down here in Virginia?
Virginia, same thing as I was saying earlier. Trying to book as much touring as possible. I recently had a meeting this week with a company that might want to help finance some of the tours. It's all about the logistics of putting it together, but I apologize for the fans who have not gotten to see us yet, but we are trying so hard. You guys can help us out. If you go to your venues in your town that can support a band like mine, you go in there, ask them to go take a look at us, and then beg them to book us down there, get some of the local bands on the bill, and if they make it so we could actually get down there and give us a little of assistance, we can get to your town and get to your state a lot easier.
No problem.
Let's see if I can do some asking around, because if nothing else, the guys from GWAR are still down here and doing their thing. So, hey, open up with GWAR over at the National in Richmond or something. That might be a good show.
It's funny you mentioned them. I've been trying. They've come through New York once a while. They were just here, I think, about a month ago. And I keep missing the boat on that one, because by the time I contact the people responsible for booking the opening bands, they've usually got talent booked already. So I am trying. I think that would be a great double bill, GWAR and Demon Boy. I think that would be a kick-ass show.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a mess, but,
I've seen this show back in the day, and I've heard about that. You know, I actually own, if you've seen a Demon Boy show,
some of
the props on our live stage are from GWAR a couple years ago.
I'm going to let you go. I got to get off the phone and keep in contact with you guys later on.
Hi, Francine. Hi, Francine.
All right.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
I'm sorry.
Take care. Be well.
See you sometime. Demon Boy.
Okay, bye-bye. It was nice having you here.
You have a nice night.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, you too.
So as I was saying, yeah, I purchased a bunch of props from one of Guar's videos. So anybody, I can't remember the song where the video came from, but there's a big skull face, and you know our skeleton man Scully that goes around. That was actually created by the same fellow that makes all of Guar's costumes.
Right.
So we sort of have a little bit of connection to them.
Are you going to be?
Oh, I thought it was Dave who was still doing the costumes and shit. But hey, what do I know? No, it's. I used to, back in my college days, I used to hang out with the VCU crowd in Richmond. It's just Virginia Commonwealth University, which is the big art school. And where my friend lived, she was like a block and a half away from Guar's rehearsal space. So we would actually be walking past there whenever we wanted to go to the grocery store or something. And,
wow.
You know, hour and a half the time we just, hey, what y'all doing? Come here. And
well,
so,
I was in Ohio in 2009 and 10, and I was recording my first album. And one of the guys in the band has a side band, Mobile Death Camp.
Right.
And they were there constantly. I had a couple of opportunities to play with Mobile Death Camp. I didn't take them while I was there because we were just so busy. But yeah, there's a lot of talk. War is pretty popular all over the country.
Yeah, and then like back in I think around 2000, I was touring with APOX, Apocalypse Theater. I don't know if you've ever run across them or not.
No.
Yeah, they kind of did a very interesting sort of, you know, they owned it. You know,
right.
It was definitely, you know, Bikini Kill meets Motley Crue, I guess, kind of.
So that sounds like a great combination. Oh, while I can, I just want to bring up, we've got so much new stuff happening for this year, and a couple of things I've been working on behind the scenes is we've brought in a new prop company, and it's called Sick and Twisted FX. It's run by Thomas Smith Jr. Thomas does a lot of special effects for indie and mainstream high-end horror films, and he has come on exclusively as our new prop designer and set designer. So you're going to be seeing a lot of new things. When we come back out live, it's going to be February 22nd at Even Flow Club, and that is on Bayshore, Long Island. That's here on the East Coast. We got a brand new show coming out. We've upgraded our light show. We've got new theatrics throughout the show. We added about 8 new songs to the set, and then you're going to be seeing all the new props coming in from Sick and Twisted Effects. So I just wanted to give them a fast shout out.
That's
awesome,
great. If someone wants to see you on the East Coast, Long Island, do you have any recommendations where they can stay?
Wait, excuse me, can you repeat the question?
If someone were to fly out to see you, say, in February in Long Island, do you have any recommendations where they could stay?
There's hotels and motels are littered all over Long Island. I couldn't even tell you one name, but they're everywhere. That wouldn't even be a problem.
Well, I'm sure there are. Just wondering if there was something close by.
Yeah,
if you're going to be a group of people going, you guys can always do the vacation rental thing and rent, you know, a house or something,
yeah,
or an apartment
or something.
Oh, that's cool.
There's plenty of things like that. If you're flying in, to stay anywhere in the Queens, Brooklyn, or New York City area is going to be extremely expensive as opposed to staying out in Long Island. Now, they're all within a driving distance. So you'd fly into Kennedy, LaGuardia, which are in Queens, and then you'd come over to Long Island, maybe a 30-minute ride, and you can get hotel rooms $50, $60 a night. Not that bad.
I don't know the area very well. I stayed at the Park Lane Hotel near something called Small Carnegie Hall. I don't really know the area, but I'm sure you can find anything on the internet. I just thought you might have to suggest being that you're from there.
Yeah, Google it.
Yeah, no.
I like the group idea that the other guy said. That's a good idea.
Sure, group rates. I mean, that's how it's the easiest way to fly around the country. You know, the hotel even give you group rates, no?
Yeah, definitely.
But he said you rented a vacation place. I think I like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
We thought about that a little late when we were doing Endless Night. And at the same time, you know, I found a really cool place in Louisiana that is kind of like eight rooms and 8 bathrooms and a huge living room, like a whole, you know, a whole TVs in every room and out in the backyard a nice grill and a theater set up. So,
that's,
you know, something like that. It's
West
like,
Hammett,
that's like a party, not just... That's the after party, not just, you know, going to Endless Night or something else like there, though. It's pretty cool. It's $1,000 a week.
the Endless Night one down in Louisiana. I was invited down to that a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, I couldn't make that, but I've been wanting to get down there for that.
Yeah, it's
a trip. How much is it a week?
Yeah, we actually have local
there's lots of places
out
for
there that are doing their own event.
There's lots of places for NAMM, right, that have already been taken up.
Right.
Yeah, NAMM. I was trying to get out to the NAMM festival myself.
I asked if you were going to come, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes it's not hard to understand. There's so many people. I was scheduled to come out there. Unfortunately, my schedule's not allowing me to leave and get over to the NAMM Festival. I'm so backed up here in New York with the preparations, getting the band ready for February. I'd like to touch a little bit more on some of that, if I could. There's a couple of new things going on. My comic book, we are going to start featuring it online. A lot of people, we realized, don't collect comic books but might be interested in, you know, maybe looking through the pages of the comic book. So I have a company right now that is going to be putting the comic book online. So issues 1 and 2 are going to be up. We're going to have a brand new website launching in February, at the end of February, right before the tour starts. And that'll be about the 22nd again. And what we're going to do is we're going to start throwing some contests for people and my fans to actually get drawn into the issues of the Demon Boy comic book.
Keep
an eye out for that. We're going to feature somebody in each issue. We'll feature one person. We'll have a little bit of a contest, and the contest will be just some random crazy shit that we think up. And if you win it, the artists are going to draw your likeness into one of the books and into one of the stories. So keep an eye out for that.
Hey, Dave, there's something for us.
I guess you could have me as a demon with the long tongue and shit, right, in the fans.
Wait, who's the demon with the long tongue? I like that one.
Great. And then the video game, which is doing pretty well. Again, there's a Facebook page. Just pop in Demon Boy video game. You'll find it. There is instructions. It is an online game only. It's not for a PlayStation or any of those things. Just it's an online game. You play it through the game Half-Life, which most of the gamers know Half-Life. You need to have Half-Life, and then we give you the codes, and it's all free. You get the free codes, and it opens up the Demon Boy game, and there are 7 different levels currently that you can play on the Demon Boy video game. So that's another thing.
Wow, you're like Demon Boy following in the footsteps of Lemmy Kilmister.
Lemmy, I hear that. I hear the little Gene Simmons all the time.
That's right.
Hey,
oh
I get
God.
That too, brother, so don't feel bad.
Are you talking about Motorhead Lemmy? Because that guy's little.
Ian Lemmy, yes, exactly.
I was about to say, tell me a little bit about this new DVD I see that you got out.
The DVD?
Yeah.
The one for Cannibal Diner?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was Cannibal Diner. I had heard that you had a new DVD out, so I'm asking about
actually, it. Well, I don't know which one you might be talking about, but I'm going to take a good guess. We recently, 2 movies just came out. We did Cannibal Diner, and they just released the DVD for that in the United States. And like I said,
right.
You can go to BrinksVision.com, which is the distributing company, or just Google it. I believe you can find it on Amazon. And Cannibal Diner, there is a DVD, and then there is a limited edition Blu-ray. The Blu-ray does come with more special features than the standard DVD. The other movie that came out was Jacko Slasher. That was Jen Valdez. She's known as the Aardvark. She put my song Party to the Grave in that. We just played their distribution party at the Trash Bar last month. That is distributed worldwide as well. And I have been contracted right now to do 3 more soundtracks for movies for this year. Unfortunately, the way that works is I cannot publicly tell you the names of the movies or anything. I'm under with non-disclosures because we can't give out any information. So I can tell you that as of right now, we've been contracted for 3 more. I expect to do, of course, much more by the end of the year. But that, for us, the horror movie soundtrack thing has really started to take off. Many thanks to Mario and Frank from Cannibal Diner for getting us started with that. They did did such a fabulous job with promoting the band for the horror movie, and the horror movie itself did wonders for me having my music in there, and that really got my name out all over the world, especially in Germany, and we've gained a huge fan base from it, and I've also gained, like as I said, a lot of the directors contacting me. My band is tailor-made to write soundtracks for horror movies.
Right.
You know?
That's awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, Jen sent me a copy of the Jack of Slasher movie, so...
Yeah,
awesome.
That's awesome. It's actually a really cool movie. It's campy and horror at the same time, but it's a worth watch. I personally, no bullshit, I've watched that movie about 8 times already because I just love it every time I watch it. I'll sit down while I'm eating and I'll pop that DVD in.
Yeah, Jen's pretty cool. She's awesome.
Yeah, the party they had.
She says, Paul, you
wrote
a screenplay, you can even star in the movie. She's away from my rating, so. I
right.
says, yeah,
there
I got
go.
So many projects. Well, I'm working on a Wasp tribute album right now, so.
Nice.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, so getting the bands together. My friends in Edmonton's got a studio I'm going to use, so.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, that's one of my main influences, Wasp, so.
Well, I love that.
They're a little bit underrated, you know. It's too bad.
Wasp for sure is one of the underrated bands from back in the day.
In California.
That's where he's from, so of course he's more popular. I've seen him here, and I saw him, believe it or not. Remember, right when the whole metal thing started to take a nosedive, and the bands
right.
went from playing arenas to playing small clubs, they came into this club near my house. I was actually shocked. I was like, what the hell is Wasp doing at this tiny little shithole?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
And I went in there, and the crowd was horrible. Now, the night before that, they played over in New Jersey. Now, hair metal and stuff is still really big in New Jersey. So over
right.
there, it was packed out, and there were girls everywhere. Then it comes out to Long Island in this little bar. It's nothing but a freaking pickle fest in there. There's no girls. And... the crowd was so lame that the only two people screaming and yelling and clapping were me and my buddy, and we were actually yelling at the people in the audience, and what happened was Blackie, towards the end of the thing, pretty much just
Blackie
walked off stage and never came back on.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I've been talking
with
Randy Piper, the original bass player.
Hold on,
everybody.
Hollywood.
Everybody's trying to talk over everybody here, so.
Yeah.
Try to take turns.
Yeah, sir. But anyway, somebody from the chat room had asked, hold on guys, somebody from the chat room had asked Doom Boy, have you beaten your own game yet?
Have I haven't played it all that much. Believe it or not, it's really kind of funny. You know, I have the game. It's all about me. My character's in it. I'm not a video game person. I don't play video games. I've played
wow.
mine, but I honestly haven't played it all that much. It's kind of ridiculous that I have it, but I have a really busy schedule.
Right, you know.
It's a great
question.
Game. I mean, I absolutely love it. It's cool, you know.
I have a question. Are you going to play something before you get off this radio show tonight?
We've got a whole hour and 30 minutes still left, and we are going to be playing some Demon Boy.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, we're on till 1 a.m., so.
We had another person call in right now, and we had somebody got lost. We have this other person sitting there. You, stranger person, the person who hasn't talked. What's your name? Yes, you. I'm talking to you. The last person
Hello.
To call in.
All right, I'm Rich. I'm just hanging out, waiting
there
listening to Demon Boy because we're friends.
Oh, hey, it's Rich Watson.
Yeah, I'm just...
There you go.
I've been quiet just listening, and then my phone died, and I had to start over again.
That's why he went away and came back.
He doesn't have an accent.
Rich, okay,
I what?
Rich is, he
it's
said that you don't
have
an accent. That's because Rich is actually from Pennsylvania.
I have an accent. It's called Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Then he's supposed to sound like he's from Philly.
Yeah, that's it. Yo, is that better?
Yes.
Oh, he doesn't have an accent.
Well, for those of you listening... For those of you listening, Rich Orth, he is a dark poet. He's got a book out right now called Poetry Girls.
And a second book about to happen.
Yes, second book is coming out. And Rich is actually a writer, and he's the lyricist for Demon Boy, who actually helps me write some of the Demon Boy songs in the lyrics only, not the music part, but he writes the lyrics. So Rich has our first song that we wrote together was Cemetery Girl, became a huge hit, and from there I knew that the collaboration with me and Rich was clicking, and then we went on to write Zombie Dance. We wrote This Halloween. With those two songs, there is a version of Zombie Dance out now. We're actually re-recording a new version, and This Halloween is almost done. We've been tracking it for a few months now, but I've had some issues with the recording studios we've been in, so there's some new Demon Boy music coming out. So that's who you got on the line right now, Mr. Rich Orr.
Oh, congratulations, Rich.
Right on. That's awesome.
Big question is, if somebody wants to go and buy your music and stuff, where do they go look?
Okay. I'm on every one of the download sites. So it's like you can go to iTunes, you can go to Rhapsody. I'm on about 47 of the download sites.
I was going
to
say, he is
so
everywhere.
Amazon. You know,
yeah, Amazon. You can just go to any one of them. The album that's out on those sites is my second album, which is Dawn of the Demon. So if you type in Demon Boy, Dawn of the Demon, you'll get the album. Another easy way to get it, if you want to actually purchase the CD itself, is go to demonboyband.com. There's a store button, and in there, my first album and second album are available. I will mail you the album, and soon as you order it, if you do write me, and everybody knows I'm the easiest guy in the world to find, if you write me on Facebook, I will answer your mail. I'll autograph the CD to you, or if you're giving as a gift, I'll sign anything you want onto the CD, and not a problem. So I urge people, it'd probably be best for everybody to just go purchase the CD.
Also, isn't it more money for the band if you do it on your website rather than iTunes or Reverb?
Right.
That's a true, too. And the websites do take a chunk of it. So, yeah, if you buy it directly from demonboyband.com, it helps us better. And, again, that goes back to the touring issue. The way the bands stay alive is by the fans purchasing the merchandise. So I can't stress enough for you guys to
support
all
the artists. If you want to support the art,
say,
you must support the
artist.
You
got to go buy the merch. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to keep the artist going, folks, you got to go buy the merch and stuff. Buy
exactly.
the T-shirts
support
and hoodies and
support the artist.
The stickers
right.
and the whole nine yards, you know.
That's right.
But, yeah, and they can go to the
website.
Now,
we got another caller coming in.
Oh,
we got
okay.
another caller coming in, and this guy might, this person, hello, the new caller. Got a question for the Demon Boy?
Oh, it's the same thing. Hello.
They're gone.
A little new
they probably are gone.
I'm waiting for the first person to call in and go, you suck. Come on, where are my haters? They're not out there. I'm sure there's somebody there. They're probably falling off their chair trying to grab the phone right now. I'll tell them he sucks.
Hey, I don't think nobody hates you.
I try not to. You know, I don't
cause
no
say,
ripple in
but
the
humans
industry.
Have their limitations. Oh, they try and build up their bodies, raise their consciousness, but they can only go so far. I, however...
I love it.
You know, if
hey,
I could, let's talk about that for 1 second, what you just said. How, you know, I don't have a lot of haters. I get virtually almost no hate mail at all. I will, once in a blue moon, get somebody from some band with a freaking problem, like, coming in and just saying the stupidest shit in the world to me. I got into it with some idiot the other day who... just comes on my personal page. I'm posting out stuff to my fans, and he comes in, and everybody knows that I'm a little bit funny, and I make a lot of jokes, so a lot of times in my postings, the things I do are just campy and funny, and I made some comment in there calling me, like, you know, self-proclaiming me the number one band in New York. Hey, I am the fucking number one band in New York. But this guy says, how dare you call yourself the number one? And, you know, it's these are nothing but, you know, it's like, dude, you know, it's just like, relax a little bit over here. And then I'll get some guys like from, I had some guys from hardcore bands slamming me, you know, but hey, you know what? To each his own. Look, I tell these guys, this is what I do. Look, I don't like a lot of this music either, but I do not go out publicly trashing anybody. There's no reason for that. That's professional courtesy and respect for everybody in the industry. I don't like Justin Bieber, but I don't go making posts all goddamn day long about how much I hate the little fuck, you know?
Oh, shit.
Exactly. That's
I'm still waiting for him to retire.
Come on.
I think what people's problem...
I'm going to retire. I think I'm the shit.
What do you think Demon Boy, what do you think of the Miley Cyrus and her antics and her music and shit?
Okay, here's where I'm sure my opinion is going to differ from a lot of people. Okay, I'm all about marketing, and what a lot of people don't understand is when she's doing that, that is all planned. That is all pre-planned.
Yep.
Okay, the reason she was on Dick Clark's New Year's Eve show, all of that nutty stuff she was doing before was to promote everything, and it got her onto New Year's Eve. When you were the most talked about celebrity, you were the one on the front pages. You were the one getting all the work. And it is plain and simple a marketing ploy. That's all it is. And I am all about that. I do the same thing. It's all about overhyping and being over the top. That's why. Look, who are we talking about right now? Miley fucking Cyrus.
Exactly.
Yeah. Madonna,
and that's the bottom line. That's right.
Yeah,
and that's what happens with Demon Boy.
I know, it's crazy. It's weird.
Why do you think Dennis Rodman is in Korea?
Yeah.
It looks a great point, Rich. I like that. Great point, Rich. I love
Miley Cyrus. This is the picture of Miley Cyrus, as I keep trying to tell everybody here. She's on the stage and Demon Boy is featured on her.
Twerking.
The Demon Boy.
What? I can't even.
That was crazy, man.
You know, speaking with, like, talking about.
We have
like,
another caller.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. We got another caller. Let's see what this one has to say. A new caller.
Yo, what's up? This is Rob Zombie. I'm real pissed off that you play my song better than I play it.
I know who this is.
We're talking about living in Santa Clara and never could stop. All the damn vampires.
That's got to be Chris Cyanide.
Yeah, it's Chris Cyanide. What's going on?
Hello there. How are you, Chris Cyanide?
I was going to continue the Rob Zombie thing, but I don't want to start getting hate mail.
Called him out right away. Yeah, that's so funny what Chris just said. We do a couple of covers during our show. We play one song from Rob Zombie, and no disrespect to Rob, we love Rob, but we've had people come right up to us and go, "Oh my God, I think you guys play that song better than they do."
can I say something to you, Damon, about Rob Zombie?
Sure.
No, you can't.
Great.
Go into it anyway.
You said marketing tool. Before he was out playing, there were these little envelopes that would go to California homes that had things inside of them, and people would put their stuff inside, and just flyers, whatever they would get. And the first he did that, he would send out a flyer with a free song on a CD thing, and it went to everyone. So he was great at flipping marketing. He's fantastic. Yeah.
Well,
look at the movies he's done. Shoot. Whoa,
yeah, but
of
that's
course.
How he started. That's how he. That was before he was even known. He was known in and housewives everywhere would get that blue envelope with that thing, and if they had children or something, they would just toss it and the kids would find it.
And the kids get it out of the trash.
Yeah,
and
I got to meet him last. What was it? 2012. I won tickets to the show.
Back.
Well, Rob's a smart businessman. He's a good businessman.
Yeah.
I pick his brain. I pick Alice Cooper's brain. Again, you know, we're not trying to be copycats of those guys. We're trying to be like just another band in the same kind of genre. And, people in the music industry have said that, you know, nobody's ever said, oh, this guy wants to be Alice Cooper. They're like, oh, my God, this guy is just like Alice Cooper. He's another one. He's going to be the next generation of Alice Cooper, which is what I would love to have the torch handed down. We're just on that path.
Right.
Shit, that would be a good show right there, Demon Boy and Alice Cooper.
Well, you know what?
Hey,
I've been trying
to get him on the show.
Yeah.
I want to get him on the show, damn. Because
Alice Cooper's pretty cool about cameos. He's always, cameoed. You know that.
He's popped up out here in Williamsburg a couple times because we got a couple big golf courses out here.
Yeah, I know. They got to get off the golf course.
And it's so funny.
It would be appropriate for him to be here, too, actually.
I run into him at a mall just walking around, and I'm just like, dude, hey, we just wound up sitting there bullshitting, and he was telling me something about he went out to one of the private airports out here, one of the little chintzy, prop planes, and he wanted to go take a flight. They wanted to charge him extra money for the snake. And he was, I was like, are you kidding? I was like, nah, I can believe it. You should probably charge you an extra seat for the snake. But I think he was trying to fly from here up to D.C. or something and didn't want to go through one of the main airports and just, you know, screw it. You know, take one of the little chintzy outboard.
Well, actually, yesterday, one of his sons, I got a friend request from his son, Dash. And his son Dash actually has a band called, it's called Co-op. So it's C-O-O-P, which is basically coop. So look up Dash. I mean, he's a real nice guy, too. I was kind of surprised. I was like, wow. I says, Alice Cooper's son just friend requested me. How did he find me? You know? And I'm thinking, that puts me one step closer to the king, you know?
Hey, there you go. And Alice is really nice.
We lost cyanide.
Michigan native.
He decided to jump back in the chat room. So.
Yeah, Alice is a nice guy. I mean, you know, he's a guy. I'm the same way, but I think people are thrown off by what they see when they see my photos and pictures, and then they hear me talk, and they're like, wow, he's completely different. It's like, well, you know, I'm just a, you know, regular person basically too, and when I hit the stage and I'm Demon Boy, I mean, that is a performance,
Right.
Alice is the same way. He hits the stage, he is one way, and then you get him off stage, and he's just like, you can sit there and have a great conversation with the guy.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, it's just people get so...
You don't meet too many people like that, but when you do, you're friends for life.
Yeah, well, you know, the day of the egomaniacs, I mean, there are people out there who are egomaniacs. I'm sure a lot of people think I'm an egomaniac. I mean, I'm very boisterous, and I throw my chest out a lot. But, you know, I don't go around saying I'm the greatest thing in the world. You know, Chris Cyanide, who was just on, he said a quote to me once I'll never forget. He goes, you don't got to be the best. You just got to be amazing. And that's it. That's it with any band. Now, you know, the people got to stop with the egos and the attitudes and just chill out, and everybody will have a good time. You know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And help each other out, you know.
You lose fans when you pull the ego and the bullshit, because people don't want to deal with that. You might have the best music in the world. If you're an asshole, I'm going to be like, you know what? Fuck you. You know, if you're a nice guy, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, so like I said, we run into that so much here in New York. Like I said, I know there's a lot of really cool bands here in New York. Muckrakers, a great band, and there's just a lot of my friends. Eric Vaughn and his band is really good. He's got the Von Frankensteins and his new one, Lucifer Jones. He's all great people. And then there's this whole side in New York that has a great deal of animosity towards me because I am the guy that is the front page guy. I'm the guy that posts more than anybody. I've got more shit out there. My band plays so much. We probably play too much. We're playing, like, when we go out and play in New York, we're playing weekend after week. We're doing 2-3 shows a week, and they're not far apart from each other. Some of the club owners get a little upset. They're like, oh, geez, you just played like 3 days ago across town, and then you booked over here. If we had known you played over there, you know, you're not going to draw a big crowd because you just played over there. You know, we're just out there all the time, and I can sense and feel the animosity for some of the other bands in the town.
Well,
and it's, hey, look.
Some people
you know,
are jealous.
Yeah, that's all it is. Now, look, I'm not trying to steal anybody's thunder. I'm just out there doing my thing. I'm clawing to the top just like everybody else.
Right. Hey, man, is it like, man, if I lived in your area, I'd come all the time.
Our show's fun. If you've ever been a Dan Boy show.
That's how I am. If I like a band, I'm gonna try to see them all the time.
Back in the day, I grew up where I live right now. Dee Schneider lives about 20 minutes from my house. So when I grew up around here, Twisted Sister played all the time also, and you know everybody followed them around locally. They were the shit, and I'm trying to build up the same thing, the Demon Boy show, because it's not just about coming and watching our show. Our fans have become friendly, and it's like this big posse. We call them the Posse of the Living Dead, and when they come, it's just a big party, and everybody has a great time, and we're out there hanging out with everybody and taking pictures and just acting stupid, and we have a great time.
Yeah, it's just a big party, ain't no drama, you know. It's a good thing.
And you get our kick-ass show.
And somebody in the chat room, Dina Marie had asked, what is Demon Boy's age?
Oh, that you don't ask the Demon Boy that question. I am immortal.
He's
got to
be 35, 40 years old. Oh.
Well,
I am an immortal.
He's a demon. He don't need to have an age.
I'm as old as my tongue and a little bit older than my teeth.
Yeah, DJ Cyanide put down 666, so we'll go with that.
That's right. Yeah, go with that.
Got it.
The young one.
I know his age, but I won't tell.
Looking forward to coming out there and seeing you, brother.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Sean Brennan from London After Midnight. You're 21. That's what Sean Brennan says. Every time.
Yeah, I'm going to perpetually be 21.
That's what he is. That's what he says.
Wow.
I was like, what? I can't believe it. I was up in the room after the show, and they were getting ready to do their Mexican tour or South American
so
tour.
So your hair naturally red or just diet red?
Okay. Okay, the color of my hair you're just asking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not naturally red.
Okay, I was about to say, what the hell, man?
I got to walk through a nuclear plant to get my hair that color.
You look good with red hair, though. That's where it was, man.
Yeah, my hair is a story in itself, yeah. But I know a lot of people want to know, is that your real hair? Is that this? Is that this? Most of that is my real hair. Do I wear a lot of hair extensions? Of course. Everybody wears hair extensions. That red doesn't come cheap either. My hair is very, very expensive.
Do you have it insured?
I don't actually wear extensions. I just have long hair.
I had to ask, man. You got it insured. Then you got something going on.
Yeah, I should call Lloyd's of London. I got to insure my hair.
Well, you never know. You know, you might get drunk some night. Somebody decides to pull out the clippers and fuck with you. You know, that would just be horrible. But, you know.
Don't give them ideas.
I'm just saying, be careful if you wind up hanging out with Bam Margera. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, God.
Bye, you still. Who's your favorite singer of all time?
Frank Dimino from Angel.
Ooh, I thought maybe it'd be somebody from Kiss or something.
No. like I said, I grew up, I loved Angel, and I went out to Vegas. I was in Vegas, I think, 2 years ago, and I went to go see the Sin City Sinners. And they're up there playing, and that's like one of the guys that used to be in Faster Pussycats in that band and a couple other guys. And I'm watching them, and all of a sudden they announce Frank Dimino is going to be a special guest singer, and I fucking practically fainted. I mean, I've been a huge fan of his for a long time, and then all of a sudden there he was in front of me, and the next thing I know, as soon as he's done, I'm there hanging out with him, his wife, his new band called Vinyl Tattoo. I end up meeting the guy, and I think he's a fantastic guy, and I felt like, for me, that was myself coming full circle. Frank Dimino, if you look up him in Angel, and you go back and look at their singing style, and even the band was one of the first early theatrical bands. It had an amazing live show. I've seen them back in the day. They opened up for Queen, and it was just a fantastic show. And my friend right now, Butch, runs an Angel fan page, and it sort of brought out all the old fans. And Punky Meadows, the guitar player, he's always in there. But Frank Dimino, his voice styling, I actually pattern a lot of the vocal tricks I do off of what Frank does. And then I kind of mix in a little bit of Ozzy, a little bit of Alice, and then a piece of myself, and that's how I came up with my signature sound. Because, you know, I'll be the first one to admit it. Hey, am I a great singer? No, but I have a style and a charisma about the way I sing. Same thing like Ozzy. You can't say that Ozzy is a great singer. Or Rob Zombie.
Yeah, everybody has their own personality and how they sing.
Exactly. It's the same thing with me. I think I have more of a personality. Yeah.
It's your style,
it works.
It's the way you want to be. That's how you roll.
Right. You know what? It's a gimmick and it's a style, but you know what? It works. Everybody loves it. And as long as it's all in the same concept, which is our horror concept and the type of songs we do, like a Kiss the Dead Girl, and, you know, you have to hear it and you have to see it to really experience. Right. Like, seeing what you guys see on the internet or just listening to the songs doesn't do anything. That's why we put out recently, after the Ravenous video came out, which is our main video, if you really want to go see what a live Demon Voice show is like, take a look at the Ravenous video. But then we decided, all right, I had a lot of fans writing me and even my band members. I got brand new band, Chris Cyanide, of course, on the bass. I've got Ron Shreddy Krueger, we call him Toth, on the guitar, and he's just a phenomenal guitar player. And then we got Trader Boogeyman on the drums. We're currently recording material with these guys, but I had nothing online with the guys playing, and so everybody was like, let me see some live video. So if you go to our YouTube, we put out a version of I Kissed a Dead Girl. We put out the opening of our show from last year, which is Born Dead into Party to Grave, and that'll give you guys a taste of what it's like coming to one of the shows, and it's like a circus.
Right. And no show, no two shows are ever going to be the same. You never know what's going to happen. There's
I'd like
always,
to say
you know.
Thank you again, Demon Boy, for chatting with you and all that.
Aw, Francine, so sweet.
Yeah, no, with the Demon Boy show, certain things in the show are patterned to be the same throughout the show because each one of the songs is a little bit of a theater in, as we go along.
Right.
So we stick to a common theme, but of course
we
change it up.
You're an image. You're an image. You know, I had someone say to me once when I was out in public, you're a slave to your image. You know, you're an image.
Oh, yeah.
That's what sells. It's an amazing thing.
Oh, yeah,
I definitely
believe it's my image that is one of the key selling points of the band. Like, I'm the red dot special. You know, you see me. That's what gets you intrigued. And then once you're brought into it, the cool thing about Demon Boy, what I wanted to do when I developed the band in the beginning, was I didn't want it to be cheesy. I wanted the best musicians in the world to be in my band. And again, that was kind of following from Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper has always had the world's greatest musicians playing for him. He changes them up a lot, and I have had many different lineup changes in the 4 years that we've been together. The current band that I have is locked in right now. These guys are all great. But, yeah, it's all about that. That image is first and foremost, but the whole thing is once you get past that and you start to listen to the music, everybody appreciates, like, wow, these guys are actually pretty damn good. We'll hold our own against anybody, and one of the things we're going to do to show that off with this tour is we've decided to pop in a couple of more covers from other bands just to kind of stick it in people's faces who might think that we're not as good as all the hype seems to be.
Oh, no, you guys are great. Yeah.
But thank you so much. And one of the things that's been irking me lately, and I mean this with all due respect, it's these tribute bands. I mean, I really love
they're
the tribute
so
bands.
So
much. Yeah, you know, it's all about that. You know, hey, you know what? I can stop Demon Boy right now, and I can go be an Alice Cooper or a Rob Zombie cover band, and I'm sure I'll make more money than I'm making right now. But that's
right.
Not what I want to do, and to me, that's being cheesy. And these tribute bands, did you see there's a show coming on TV called, it's called like something like Battle of the Tribute Bands, where they're going all over the world. I mean, some of them are really good, but there are so many bad ones. And guys, stop with the Black Sabbath tribute bands already. Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah, no doubt.
The 150 of them in New York alone. I mean, how many Black Sabbath tribute bands do we need? I mean, some of them are really good, and some of them, you know, are just, like, trying really hard, and more power to them. But what we decided to do was, okay, a lot of these clubs want to hire them because it's familiar music and it brings the people into the club because now they don't have to hear some crappy original band that might suck or might be good. It's a 50-50 crapshoot. So they bring in, you know, an Iron Maiden tribute band or a Motley Crue tribute band, and they're safe. They're playing it safe. And what we decided to do is we're going to now pepper in songs from Black Sabbath, and we, like I said before, we do Rob Zombie, and I'm not going to spoil everything we do because I want the fans to get surprised at the live show. And we're going to do that just to show that, hey, look, you know, we can do some of this too and just blow everybody away with that, so we're going to start peppering that into the live show.
Right.
I'd love to see you in Vegas, like at Vamps. At Vamps is another great club.
I've been trying to contact
a lot of people like
that,
Paul Sortino and Doug Aldrich and everything that one night that I went there. I have photos up. I mean, I would love to see Demon Boy there. And,
well,
what you said about the cheesy...
Yeah.
I actually thought it was cheesy at first when I first saw you around on Facebook, but then I listened to it and it was like, wow.
See, that's what I was trying to say earlier, is there, I know that there's 50% of the people take one look at me and like, oh my God, some other freak in face paint and blah, blah, blah.
Never bald, Michael.
Like what I said,
you
got to get
past
that. I mean,
I've heard it all. I want it all.
There's a point. Look, I went the route of the makeup and the over the top look. Yes, but that is selling and that is working for me.
He's a musician that goes over the top as a vampire. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Now, like I said, we get people who come to my show that will come up to me after the show and say to me, you know what? this is not my type of music that I would have listened to, but oh my God, you guys were fucking fantastic. I had a great time.
There you go.
They fall in love with us because our show is likable no matter what type of music you like. If you like thrash, if you like punk, if you like glam, whatever it is, there's something in our show that you will connect with, and we do that intentionally because we want everybody to enjoy our show. You may not like 2-3 songs, but you're going to fall in love with 2-3 others.
I can understand where that's coming from because I'm into everything. I like glam, rock, heavy metal, the sleazy type of music, you know. It's like
right.
Live the Sinister and all that.
Well, I was just going to say, if nothing else, I mean, there's a lot of bands I will pay to go see, even though I don't really care for their music. Like Mudvayne, music-wise, they're good. Their shows are fucking awesome.
The show gets you because I saw Raiding the Rock Vault, and I thought it was going to be kind of, you know, silly.
I know, the music I listen to, like for Demon Boy, for instance, nobody that I'm friends with might not listen to them, but I will. I listen to Steel Panther, and I got friends laugh behind my back. But, hey, you know, me. And, you know, I'm into everything.
Yeah, we just had Steel Panther play not too long ago. They're a big hit down here.
Well, you know,
what'd you say?
Steel Panther's been a pretty big hit down here, and at least in the
Yeah, they came here last year at the intersection in Grand Rapids, Michigan here, and I got to meet them. And they were pretty cool. I'm like, it took them about 2 years to get here, but hey, they finally came here, and it's like, whoa, they were awesome.
Well, yeah, Steel Panther, when I was in Vegas, I knew who they were, because remember, they were like three different names before they were Steel Panther. They've been around a very, very long time. And then they got their Vegas residency at the House of Blues, and I went to go see them there, and I wasn't thinking this. I was thinking the same way probably people think about me. I was like, all right, this is going to suck. It's probably going to be nobody there. This is going to be really cheesy. But you know what? I get there. The place is packed. And I was blown away by the show. I thought, wow, this is actually really freaking cool. Now, the funny thing is I've been hearing this every now and then. People are almost seeing Demon Boy as not a band like Steel Panther, because what they do is they do a very lot of comedy in their show. Now,
everybody loves it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it. You know why? Because the novelty of the act is entertaining.
Right.
And that's
what
it's all about, entertaining the people.
That's what I was saying about Raiding the Rock Vault. It's very entertaining, but it's like Tracy Guns. I mean, it's got like these great musicians.
That's right. And I've been working on Vegas too, seeing if we can get a stint out there about, you know, because they don't really have an attraction like that. How about having Demon Boy?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's why I brought up Raiding the Rock Vault.
You know, doing something like, you know, if you could work with like Gormatorium or something, which
exactly.
Gormatorium, I remember they were opening that. A tattoo artist told me about it because I do a lot of weird stuff that I sell. But I think I would like to see them at the Las Vegas Hilton, like they do the Raiding the Rock Vault or something like that, you know, where
that's always a good one.
I would love to get something booked out that way and have something like that. Like, because our show, you know, we've been called, it's like so similar to going to a Broadway play or something, because it's a real show. And later this year, we're actually working on a second half of our show that's going to bring the comic book to life on the stage.
Ooh.
So we're going to try to do a split show or do maybe a series of shows where it's basically going to be stories related to the comic books, and we'll probably write a few tunes. And as somebody was saying earlier about how Rob Zombie gave away the free CDs, we might be putting a CD with songs inside issues of the comic book that you can only get with the comic book, and those songs will specifically relate to those stories. And then what I want to do is with the new special effects company Sick and Twisted coming in, we're working on some of the characters like King Zombie and the girls Halo and Fire Vixen that are in my comic book, and bringing those characters to life, putting them on the stage, and putting on a play with all the music and everything in it too. So I've had this lot of relation to us, you know, being along the same kind of thing as Steel Panther. With Steel Panther paving the way, and as you said, you know, they came down by you and everybody loved them, I think it's the same thing. If you just keep putting Demon Boy someplace, the people will fall in love with it. And as far as getting into those clubs you were speaking of in Vegas, we really just got to pound those guys' doors down and make them aware about us.
Exactly, aware so that you find your niche.
And,
you
right.
Well, they need the fans to go out there and say, hey, we want to see Demon Boy play.
That's
that
what
way
I was
they
saying
know,
earlier.
Hey, there's money there.
Yeah. Yeah, earlier I was saying that you guys gotta go to
it's
the club
be,
owners.
It's gotta be the right type of venue. That, you know, of course,
well, yeah,
House of Blues is a good venue. I never been there, but hey, a lot of great bands come from there, and you know, like you just gotta keep nagging the owner of the place if you can, you know, and say, hey, I want to see this band
oh,
come play here, you know, just keep
have,
nagging them, keep
have,
nagging them.
And
then eventually
they'll
cave in,
to
you
Vegas,
know.
Okay,
they're
everybody's trying to talk over everybody here. Yeah, we can't have everybody talking over everybody. That doesn't work too well.
If you guys keep talking over each other, it's like nobody's understanding what you're saying.
But yeah, from the point that, you know, it's just, yeah, you got to bang down the doors, folks, and the fans got to be the ones saying, hey, we want to see this band play, because that way they
also
know, there's money there.
Right, exactly.
Also
hey, is Rich Orr still on the line?
Yes, I am still here.
Oh, Rich, let's go backtrack here a little bit. I just want to let everybody know that next weekend, January 17th.
It's going to be cool.
Yep, the 17th, the 18th, and the 19th is the Macabre Fair Film Festival. And Rich will be there, and I will be there. We will be at a table together. Rich will be pimping out his book, signing autographs. I will be there just pimping out myself and signing autographs.
Is that in New York?
You do.
It's probably in New York, right?
Yeah, that's going to be in Los Angeles, New York.
And the coolest
you know,
thing is,
here
the coolest thing
book,
is, the 19th,
going out with everybody.
Hey, just so you know, the 19th is Poe's birthday, and this is why I write, and this is why I've been able to write, and
how cool
I just love the feeling that my first book signing will be on Poe's birthday. It's not get any better. Music, what the hell is that about? Jesus.
Oh.
I'm going to
go back to church.
Well,
I was
going
to say, guys, if you're really into Poe, you ought to hit Richmond because we got the Poe Museum out here, which is like, he always loved Richmond, so. Hey, come on.
Okay, I know who that is. Sam, if you want to ask a question, you can ask a question, but you're going to need to turn your music off or I'm going to just kick you right out of the queue. So, I'm turning your mic on.
Dude, that's got to go.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
Oh, my God.
You waited for a long
time
to get
on
that. I got him on that. Let's see who this one is here. We've got a call in here from this one. This one says Christian are good. So, let's see what he says. He's been waiting for 11 minutes. Hello.
Oh my God.
What the heck is that?
That's
I got rid of him. I guess he's trying to pimp out his band.
Is that the type of hate that you got? The type of hate.
He's trying to pimp out his band. It's not sounding good. Everybody's talking at once.
Yeah.
I have filtered power. I can mute you.
Yeah.
Yes, I should be the only one talking.
If you're not careful, okay. But we got 7 callers left out of our 13. If you start calling in before, you can call back. Just try and be patient.
Well I'm finally
you
letting
you
all
go
this time
seven.
Around. I was like, good night, and hope to see Demon Boy in sometime this year. Good night.
Good night. So why don't you bring in callers one at a time? Why don't we just go through them?
Yeah.
Oh, we were trying to do that, but after waiting a while, I just kind of like added them in. But you know, the guy was quiet and waited for a while. That Sam guy who the first music player. The other one was waiting for like 11 minutes, and I was expecting him to either possibly be somebody religious or something. So because it said Christian, you know, are good or something. And now I'm like, oh,
that would have been interesting.
That's what I figure, but you know,
it's not
the
first
time
we've had hate mail. So.
Well, do you want to know
something?
Anyway,
so
We're down to 6 people now.
Yeah.
Do you want to bring somebody in? Are they there? You can bring them in.
Oh no, no, no,
yeah,
no. We're. I'm just saying we got a healthy six still on the line. So let's go in, go through the line, and everybody introduce yourself. I'm Dee. I'm your co-host here. We got Darcy.
I'm Darcy.
Now who else is still alive?
I'm Paul's still
here.
Alive.
Tombstone.
Pardon me? I can't hear.
Tombstone.
You guys, it's like everybody's voice is going.
Tombstone's
over.
Here.
Okay, Tombstone, how you doing?
Hey, good, you.
Yeah, I'm all right.
And
I'm got here. Demon Boy.
And Rich
and
is
me.
Still hanging out.
And Rich.
Awesome.
Okay, awesome.
If I'm not coming in clear, I'll unplug my headset and talk on the
that
phone
one,
directly.
That one you can't hear when he speaks, that guy right there. It's like really weird.
So now we have all the knights at the round
table. Nobody's trying to be rude. Nobody, you know, we're trying the best we can not to, you know, have everybody
is
talking over everybody. But we just, it's kind of hard to get everybody in. Yeah, we can hear you.
That's
all
really
right.
Great.
I got another caller here.
Guy
from Philly to keep his mouth shut, so I've been very quiet.
You know, Rich is just lurking in the shadow.
Quiet.
Nice.
Yes,
you know,
I lurk my own. I have lurked my whole life.
Don't worry. I don't bite.
So do you guys want to play
them?
I
got another caller. Let's see who this is. Go ahead. Oh, say something. You were saying something?
I was going to see if you wanted to, do you want to throw the guys a song? Do you want to play them a song and take a break and play a song?
Oh, yes,
you want to save that?
I do. We're going to find out who this person is that's waiting here first, and then we'll throw a song on there.
Awesome.
I got just the right one ready. So
bring
so
the
you,
hot dancer.
Speak. What is your name? Yes,
Hello?
Yeah, you.
There
you
go.
Just me. It's Destiny.
Hey,
I am Jim Chaos,
no,
and I think Demon Boy is a pain in my ass.
Okay, that's the new one. That's the new one, and then we have this other new one. The other new one. Besides the pain in the ass one. Oh, pain in the ass because we lost that one. Oh, nope, never mind.
That's me.
All right, so we're gonna listen to, you know, we lost the one that was coming in after you. So we're going to play the appropriate one here.
Awesome.
This is appropriate because you got both you guys on here.
That's right. Thank you.
Shout out to Chris. Thank you.
they'll pay for taking you from me.
Cemetery Girl, and she passed away.
Yes.
And
aww.
She was an amazing person. She worked very hard for Demon Boy and was a very good person.
Yes.
And secondly, which is tough to say secondly, but to my wife, because I wrote that song for her.
Aww.
Yay.
It's a weird way to write, but I just, but unfortunately, you know, Chris passed away, and she was the most amazing person and did so much for us.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you. I had Lyme disease, and I disappeared from Facebook, and nobody, this is real quick, nobody ever notices you disappear for a day or two, but I am a whore on
whore.
Very, very simply stated, I am a whore on Facebook. And I disappeared for a week. And she was the only person that called. She tracked down my phone number to call me to make sure I was okay.
That's the kind of girl Chris
was. Because I did not exist for a week. And I will never forget that. And
hello.
She was an amazing person.
Hey.
Awesome.
So, just have to give that shout out. And
yeah,
I'm
Chris, if people don't know from our beginnings, Chris was one of the first assistants that I had. That
she busted her ass for you.
Oh,
she
my God. I couldn't survive. Who's in there talking?
I don't know. I just heard somebody in the background. I heard somebody say hello. Hey, go ahead
this
and
must
talk,
be the
bro.
Last person that called in, or that they called in, and then they lost the call, and then they called in again, and they lost
I just heard some dude in there now.
What's up, Demon Boy?
Yeah, who is it? Hey.
It's the Sleep Squirrel, David.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Not much. I want to go on tour with Sleaze.
Yes. There's got to be a Demon Boy Sleaze tour. We're trying to get that going. Hopefully we can work out something for about June.
Okay.
I just got to get in touch with your management company again and get my guys on the same page, and I want to head out there. I was talking earlier. We want to come out by you guys in Illinois, and I want to cut through Michigan and in the Ohio area, do some gigs in there. Maybe we can hook up with you guys and meet you halfway. You guys meet us over in Ohio, and then we'll come back to Illinois with you guys.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan to me, man.
All right. Thank you.
We had such a great time with you guys.
Right.
Awesome.
All right, thank you.
Sweet, man. Take care,
man.
Thanks for popping in, bro.
See you later. Yep.
And who else got all quiet there for a second.
I'm still in awe about that romantic dedication.
Aw.
He's a poet.
Oh, speaking of which,
he's a honey
we've got
dripper.
Another entire community news that I'm aware of here.
I'm coming to your show just to get a picture taken with his Ema.
There you go.
Okay, as I was saying, I just got aware of this, even though it happened 5 hours ago. Looks like we're going to give a shout-out for Angel Sangria, or Angel Blood that's Wine, whatever, that's what Plant Sangria is. But apparently Vodalak, Night Killers, said she's in the ER and in a great deal of pain.
Wow. Really?
So they're asking for people to send their prayers and positive energy and all that other stuff. Pray to whatever gods you pray and whatever demons you invoke, whatever in a positive manner towards this person who's in the ER. And I just let a shout out from the Raven's Nest to you guys and from Demon Boy and whatnot. So
awesome.
Hope
that's
you get
a cool
better.
Thing, Rich. Thank you. I hope she comes out well.
Yeah, there's people winding up in the hospital.
You never know
right
what's wrong with people sometimes. So sometimes it's something is you ate the wrong thing, and other times it's you're dying.
I think I'm going to go right on stage. How good would that be? I think I'm just going to have like an aneurysm on stage while I'm singing one night. The next day I'll be the most famous guy in the world.
Damn, what?
Oh,
sales go through the roof.
Right?
No, I'm not saying it to be funny. I'm just saying, you notice that shit happens.
It's kind of sad. It's true.
Yeah, I'll do that. That'll be a trick I'll do on stage. Demon Boy kills himself on stage. The problem is I can only do that trick once.
One trick pony.
Right.
Well, you can be Houdini, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, let me give a quick shout out. I wanna. I got a team of assistants that I got now. Demoness Kim Chaos at Arizona runs a lot of my web pages, and she's my girl there. She's my personal little assistant that helps me out. And then we got Samantha Jordan, Sam I Am. I know she's out there. She helps. I got Angie out there. And a couple of people we haven't talked about yet, performers in the band, and that would be Yazina, the beautiful Yazina. You've probably seen her in a bunch of the pictures, who on stage plays our ravenous girl. She plays Little Red during the Little Red Riding Bitch sequence on stage. And you're going to be seeing her actually in the song we just heard. She'll be playing the Cemetery Girl because we've just incorporated that song into the live show with a little theatrical act that goes along with it.
That's right.
So you'll see. We pulled that song out of our ass. Rich came to see us about a month and a half ago, one of our last shows of the last tour, and I had the band squeak that song into the live set because Rich was in the audience. I had to play it for him. Now it's going to be a regular staple. It's in the regular set that for this year's shows that you'll be seeing Cemetery Girl in there.
Now what's the name of that song you dedicated to your wife?
Excuse me?
The name of the song that you dedicated to your wife again? I didn't hear the name of it.
Cemetery Girl.
Yeah.
Cemetery Girl actually is dedicated. It's weird, but it is dedicated to my wife. It's not weird. It's dark. We won't talk about it.
I think it's romantic. It's
romantic.
Hey! Yeah.
Right, so... And then the other guy we haven't talked about is our mascot, Scully, and that's our big human bobblehead. You've probably seen him in some of the videos.
I've seen him around.
Call in and bobble his head around, he can, and so can Yazina. I just added him on Facebook.
Yeah,
but anybody who wants to add me on Facebook, you better introduce yourself, because otherwise...
I want to add you. I'm good tidings, but I'm.
Hey brother, I'm coming to the show to get some pics with Yazina. She's so beautiful.
Oh
awesome.
Yeah, and and you just gotta let me know when you get to California there, Demon Boy. Let me know.
I'll
make sure I.
Like I said, as soon as I know any of that's a go and a confirm, I'll be whoring that out. Like Rich said on Facebook.
Yeah, I
want to
know.
Also,
I'm out West Coast. Yeah.
Last week I had a meeting with another record label, and they said that they could finance some of our touring, so I just really just started talking with them about it. So if that fans out, we'll be able to get a lot more places, because I've had this international on tour for hold for about a year. We're going to Japan, and now we're going to be going to Russia, and we want to put England on there. So we're trying to piggyback all of these countries, and as soon as the financing is all in place, we'll be over there. But we're also trying to stay local and get across the United States, and like I said, I haven't been to Vegas and play out there or California in over 2.5 to 3 years, and the same thing with the Ohio, Michigan area. So, you know, we're looking to just, once we get the right support for that, we will be back out. And again, everybody, go to those club owners and see if you can get them to get us booked in there, and maybe they can give us a little assistance of getting out to where you are.
Right. And what is your best promo link to send to them?
If anybody, the best promo link, if you really want to see stuff about the band, is if you go to Reverb Nation, and all musicians know what Reverb Nation is. If you go to Reverb Nation and just go to Demon Boy's page, so it would be Reverb Nation/Demon Boy, or just go there and type it in the search window. On that page are all the statistics for Demon Boy. It gives my fan count. It gives song plays on that page. It gives a lot of information. It gives show information. It also will give the venue owners, there is a program on there that will give them the draws for all the shows we've played in the past. If they're worried about how much people we draw at a certain club, they can actually...
Oh, no, not something like that. I'm talking about a promo video.
Oh, you mean for stuff like that? Well, Reverb Nation is the same thing. It's a hub, and right on the page is the Ravenous video. It's right there. And you can also go to the DemonBoyBand.com or the Reverb Nation or my YouTube. Those are my three heavy hitters. And I would prefer, if you're going to promo anything to a venue owner, send them the Ravenous video.
The Ravenous.
Well,
we'll have to drop it
onto the Ravenous Nest Facebook page, too, so people...
Yeah,
and, you know, find the easy link.
I appreciate that. That's how that video got viral. So many great people, like Flying V. Flying V, they make guitar straps for the Flying Vs, and they make these special rests that you could play a Flying V. Guitar players know this. It's impossible to play a Flying V sitting down. So they slide off your leg. So they built a leg rest, and he is a sponsor of Demon Boy, and they have about 4 websites, and they've got us plastered all over it. My promoter, Julia, in Russia, has got us everywhere. My promoter, Max, in Okinawa, over in Japan, and these people have gotten that video out there. Yeah, so you just keep pushing. When we did the Ravenous video, what I wanted to do was I wanted to put everything about the Demon Boy live show. I said, how do we put everything and mix it all up into one video? So we put the hot girls in there. We put the hot car in there. We put everything exciting about the show was crammed into that video. So that is the best-selling tool, is that video there.
Cool. That's a good thing to do.
Somebody
actually just texted me and wanted to know if you guys have played New Orleans or have any plans on doing so.
No, I want to get back down there. I've been through there several years ago. The band didn't play, but I personally have been down going through that way when I went to Texas. I can't remember every place I've been. The first 2 years that the band came out, I did a lot of touring because I had a lot of my own personal money, and I used that to finance the first couple of tours. And once that dwindled down, I'm now at the mercy of somebody coming in and helping the band with tour support. Yeah, it's not the same. You know, nowadays it's really hard to tour. There's no record labels really anymore that do anything for you. I wanted to talk about that. Like, I get record company after record company come after me, but the problem is these ain't like real record companies. These are like these internet companies that will put your music out. So again, with these young bands, just a word of advice. I mean, like, again, be careful. There's a lot of these wannabe out there. You know, anybody can go on Facebook page and say, hey, I'm so and so records, and they're not a legit record company. They don't have any money. They've got no way to help push or promote your band, which is what the record companies back in the day used to do. But those now, there's been a big turnaround. You ain't getting a record deal like that anymore unless you're, again, a Miley Cyrus or Justin Bieber. And you're going to go out and sell 1 million copies of a record.
Fine.
They're going to sign you to Sony. They're going to sign you to Warner Brothers. But, you know, everybody's really pipe dreaming over here if they think that they're going to go score some giant record deal. That is few and far between. It is very rare that happens. You have to fund yourself, or you have to come up with a network of people so that you're able to sustain a tour.
Right.
But I'm gonna make a really big record, like a giant-sized record, and I'm going to call it So-and-So Records, and then you can work with me, and I'll have that big, giant record. It won't be, a real record, though, because you can't really find a player that's going to play that. You have to work with it.
I mean, sometimes
hey, got another
some
caller
of these
calling
bands,
in again.
Well, some of these bands, you got to work it on the internet anyway.
Yeah, I found myself... I found ringtones of myself, Lady Sonya Lorraine. I found ringtones for self. And I have nothing to do with that. I mean, it's really bizarre. It's not like CD Baby or Reverb Nation or things like that. I just, like, clicked in my name and someone was selling ringtones.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So
that
they're going to make money off
of
you.
It's
free advertising. Look at it that way.
That's actually a good way to look at it. That's a good way to look at it, and unfortunately, what you were just saying, Lady Sun, that that's how bands are getting ripped off a lot. When you know you
that's
find
what I was that was my point.
Yeah,
yeah.
you find
pure love.
People are making money. You know, it's really hard to stop that. I mean, you know, everything's so crazy now because you got the internet and things are so wide open. And you know, all that bullshit from years ago with the download thing and all that crap that Lars Ulrich from Metallica got pissed off at. You know, it's really so hard. I mean, you can't legally go chasing around everybody in the world that's doing things against you. I mean, you know, you can shut down a lot of it, but you're never going to stop all of it.
You know, it does promote, but. Yeah,
it makes the record companies look horrible, though, when they go after it. They go to try to sue some of the downloaders, and turns out it's some grandmother who let her grandkids come over and use the computer. She doesn't know a damn thing about how to download an MP3.
Sure.
And you're going to sue her for $300,000? Come on, man, that's bullshit.
No.
You know, that alienates your users and your clientele, so that you've just pissed them off. Great going.
What I don't care, though, for is where you click your name and then it goes, people just use your name on their YouTube or something and it clicks over to something they're doing. But like the ringtones or like things that I sell merchandise and it clicks and it goes to like Japan or something, that doesn't bother me because it just ups your numbers on the internet.
Sure.
But what does bother me is the other, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't want anybody stealing directly out of your pocket. I mean, like you said, some of it's a good form of flattery and a good form of promotion. You know, I don't mind people. What I was just talking about with these record companies, I'm always getting them saying, hey, we want you on our roster. And all that means is they're going to put your name on a list. And, you know, it's like, you know, big deal. You know, I get that, like, I get, like, one or two of those a week, but you know what, it's a little bit more publicity, you know, as long, you know, that's how I've gotten popular, by my name being everywhere. Everybody that writes me is like, oh, my God, every time I turn my computer on, I see you somewhere. And,
yeah, and you know what, Damon Boy, I think you're under my images. Like, if I make a comment that's got Lady Sonya Lorraine, I think, you know, those, I didn't know that it connected me, because I would go... and look at the images, and I go, whoa.
You know what I got really into lately was all about the hashtags. I didn't understand that at first. But I do that. If you find the right hashtags, I started finding it, and if you hashtag and then do Amazing Demon Boy, every photo that I put that on shows up. And I once I found out about that, I went, oh, this is freaking awesome. And I just started tagging everything with that.
I do that, yeah, as well.
Yeah, you got to.
And some people get upset, but you know what? They're promoting their band, and you're promoting your wear. So
yeah, exactly.
One scratches, you know, you're shaking hands, and one scratches the other. If they don't like it, then they shouldn't invite you.
Exactly. You know, the day of that, I mean, I do that. Like, every time somebody adds me on Facebook, I've got a generic message that I copy and paste. It goes to everybody. I don't care who you are, from the littlest guy to the biggest guy. You get it. Now, once in a blue moon, you get some moron getting all bent out of shape. Hey, man, don't be putting that shit on my wall. But you want to know what? Here's the thing. I've got a huge fan base. When I tag your wall, that means you are open to my fans seeing you because they saw that I left a posting on your band's wall. So I'm being friendly. I'm trying to tell my fans, hey, look, I just added this band. I tagged their wall. Go over and take a look at them. These guys, don't put it on my wall. All right, you know what, buddy? Then you can go fuck yourself, and all of my fans now will not know who the fuck you are.
Exactly.
Right.
Thank you very much. And, you know, I always tell them, put your stuff on my website. Put your stuff on my timeline. Put your stuff, you know, put your stuff on my stuff because I promote everyone. Because
that's what I do. I created my, I got my Demons and Demonette group. I do not mind anybody coming on there and promoting their stuff. This is all about that. This is all about sharing. This is
exactly.
all about reciprocation. You know, you help me, I help you. I
the
have
big
resources.
Picture.
Right. People got to look like that. You're not gonna go very far if you're the one band army and you go out there. But if you start making alliances, the way Isaac and Sleaze, I mean, those guys, I meet them for the first time. We became such good friends, and now we have hooked up so many deals between each other. We've been sharing deals. I give them whatever I can offer to them. They offer it back, and the two of us grow better, bigger. And if
exactly.
other bands would just be smart enough to pick up on this. And
exactly,
what,
and your like pages. Like my like pages, I let people post anything, even though it's, you know, it may not be about my sporns or whatever I do, right? I still allow them to. And
right,
some
I mean,
people have like pages where no one can write anything. It's just, oh, good, we get to just log on to your page and admire you.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't going to do that.
Exactly.
Your fans aren't going to do that. Your fan base, I'm sorry.
It's silly to see people act like that, but it's just better
right.
off to have the alliances. One of the things I'm working on right now is I already have a company running. It's called Demon Boy Productions. I just call it DB Productions, and we make most of all my videos are made in-house here. I have a video editing studio here, and I have a personal friend of mine who does all my producing, my editing, my filming, and my directing on my videos. What I've decided to do was I'm bringing in a couple of marketing companies that I'm working with right now, and I'm going to help younger bands that are coming up to help to show them how to get popular the way I got myself popular. So I'm going to start passing this information down. So if there's any bands listening right now, you can contact me, and I'm going to sign bands in, and I'm going to give them the benefit of all the wisdom of everything that I did, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to show you what mistakes to avoid. I'm going to show you if you want to make an image for your band. Hell, I'm the king of that. I will show you how to make an image. An image is really important today if you want to get noticed. There are a lot of bands and a lot of guys that they don't want to dress up. They don't want to do this. Okay, that's fine for you, but, you know, sometimes,
well,
you know, you're going to be...
Well, brands are over, but, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have a breakout band that'll get popular like that, but you know what? In this day and age, you got a better chance at being noticed if you're waving all the flags. So,
exactly.
Right.
You know, people just got to wake up to what it's like nowadays. It is not the 1980s anymore. It's not even the 1990s. This is a whole new thing, and everybody's hungry out there.
Yeah, it's like what we talked about earlier, the image, because I've met people, and they're like, wow, you're so different in person from what – everyone has their own perception of your image anyway.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
It's like, wow, you know, and I have that one with the prayer robe, and it's like, they think it's like some kind of druid thing, but I was actually really in prayer for my grandmother who passed away, and it's like, whoa, cause, you know, that they got this image thing, you know, or some will think I'm a witch, and I'm not a witch, I'm a clairvoyant, you know, and I'm a marketing business person like you.
That's awesome. I've seen a lot of your stuff because we've been friends for a few months now.
Yeah.
And, you know, you couldn't be more right with all that. And the perception, we were talking about that earlier. There's a lot of people that take their first look at me. What's really unusual is while we are not a black metal band, I have such a following of guys that are in black metal bands. They take one look at my picture.
Or death metal.
Yeah, they see my name, Demon Boy, and immediately think, well, he's probably just like that, and I'm actually not. And before, when you were talking about the gentleman that was calling in and it said something about being Christian, do you want to know, at first, when I first came out and I released my first single, and it was a remake of XTC's song, Dear God, and we did that for a reason.
Yeah.
We wanted to get the attention of the Bible Belt because they get you in the media, and I figured, you know, that's how we'll get my name out there, by riling people up. But it turns out, like, if you go read my comic books, you'll find out that there's a lot of biblical scripture in my comic book. We actually use stories from the Bible, and then we put some fantasy in there, and we made the comic book stories. But the Christian community and a lot of the Bible people have actually accepted what I do because I'm not against what their beliefs are.
Exactly.
I don't care what anybody wants
right.
to believe in. You can believe in whatever the hell you want. Just don't go preachy on me.
Exactly.
You know,
those are the ones that have they have the biggest misconceptions about me. They think, you know, and that's why I put on my thing about prophets and prophetess and Miriam and Anna the prophet in Scripture. Yeah. And it's like, you know, we were seers. There was only one ill-gotten prophetess, you know, in Scripture. But and then I'll do scriptural readings. So, yeah, they have a misconception. Yeah.
I was about to say, you think they misconceive you. I mean, hell, I'm a vampire living in Virginia. Come on. I mean, Pat Robertson's 20 minutes up the road, okay? Come on, man.
You know, I don't know. I'm in New York. Okay?
Oh, I love you.
When you're in New York, you know, I've seen it all. Everybody here is a freak. So, you know, to us here, this is really normal, and we're very numb to anything that's wild and outrageous because I've seen it all. And, you know, there's people like in Florida and all these other states where I'm sure you guys are such outcasts because the community just looks at you a certain way. We're here
I'm
in New York.
I'm at the river right now. And, you know, in Europe, I'm not an outcast, but in America... I am.
It's just bizarre.
You know, if you're in the South, it's not really America.
I think it's wherever you're gone, because you know.
Yeah, if you're in the South, especially, you know, you're going to deal with
exactly. I mean, I'm by the river. I have a river place, and I helped someone once, and someone drove him to my place. It's like a long, long driveway. And the person's like,
okay,
don't you want to drive up on a driveway? And they're like, no, she's a witch.
Okay, hold on. Somebody's got some music going in the background. I've got to cut that for a minute.
That's
okay,
me.
Thanks.
They were like, no, their conception was she's a witch, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not. And I'm not putting down witches, by the way, out there. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying that's not my belief.
Yeah, it's not your thing, and that's fine. You know, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So, Damien, you want to give him another song right now?
Yes,
I
was planning on here. Actually, we got a guy who keeps calling in, and he's quiet, so we're going to ask him if he has a question for you before I put the next song on. So, you, who's been calling back and forth, that's had to call back again like 3 times. Oops, I scared him.
need
a new phone or something,
because
he's
go
calling
with that
up. So, anyhow.
Perhaps it's a demon. Perhaps it's a demon on the phone.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Another, a phantom.
Hello, demon boy. Have you been collecting souls for me?
Who is that?
Because you know, I have a ravenous appetite. Yeah.
Yowza.
Ravenous by Demon Boy.
I think
awesome.
I heard of that guy. He's a redheaded guy, right?
And the guy called back again.
Okay,
Steve,
who is it?
Spirit.
Hey,
Damon?
This is Yazina.
Yeah. Oh,
hey.
My Lord, it's Yazina.
Yazina.
That you're not
I
a guy.
Here. I had a call when Ravenous came on. I just had a call in.
Yeah, definitely.
Everybody, this is the performer in the band we were talking about earlier. This is the great Yazina.
Hi.
Oh, I hear another song. I hear another song.
What, somebody?
You're the next one on my list.
I should sing along with this.
I just had to play that part just because, she got on here finally.
Yeah, Yazina she's the Ravenous girl. She's in the Ravenous video. She does Ravenous live on stage with us, and she's also Little Red for that song that we were just starting to listen to, Little Red Riding Bitch. What's up,
and
Dad?
It is
what
so
doing?
Much fun. It is so much fun.
Awesome.
A Demon Boy show should not be missed. It's just a
awesome.
Party every show.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man, from what everybody's telling me.
Oh, it is. It's a party every show.
Believe
awesome.
The hype.
Oh, yeah, totally believe the hype. It's worth it.
Yay.
Everybody getting quiet there for a minute. I was like, where did everybody go? Do people just,
oh,
do we lose
we're
callers?
We're down to six callers again. We're down to six callers
okay.
again. Oh, okay. We had some other people we lost. Chris is back here. He called back. We lost him for a second,
okay,
I believe.
Okay, cool.
That's you, Chris, right? Hello?
Is Chris Cyanide in the room again? No, I don't know.
That's
probably
yet.
Still
that's
he's
yet.
Still listening.
Yeah, he dipped off chat room, so I don't know what's up with that.
Well, my Facebook page is blowing up. I mean, I've got tons of emails, and everybody's still listening and tuning in because they're writing me all kinds of funny shit. So it's still going
Damon?
Good.
Damon, I have to – can I give you something, a comment?
Absolutely.
When that song
sure.
came on, Ravenous,
yeah.
remember
yeah.
I'm a seer, I'm a reader.
Yes.
My eyes are open, but I see things. I've worked on many things. But I saw Bleach Blanket Bingo.
Oh, my God.
Zombie girls dancing in bikinis with their flesh falling off when I heard that song. It was really great. and I love the other one. I've heard that before, but that's what I saw. It's really a good show, you know.
Like I said, it's an exciting show. Earlier when we were talking about Steel Panther, I mean, what we do during the live show, in between the songs, I turn into sort of a game show host. I mean, I become really funny. There's a lot of jokes that go on. You know, you've got the brutality and all of that and the rocking going on while we're actually playing the song. But in between, I'm making jokes and we're laughing and the audience is laughing. Real similar to something like Steel Panther does, but just not as much comedy as they
Rocky
put into
Horror.
The show.
Rocky Horror.
I've heard that.
You remind me of that. With the little guy with the butler. I'm gonna age myself here, but I saw Rocky Horror as a B film. They used to have A and B films, and I saw it
right.
as a B flick with another movie. It was just so bizarre, you know, at a time that I was young. I was a teenager, but you know, because I was out modeling as a teen. But it was just so bizarre to see something of that epic.
Yeah,
well,
I remember the first time I saw that, it was the same way, and I appreciate that comment. Somebody just did a write-up on us and made a comment that my following was something that would make the Rocky Horror Film Show people jealous.
Exactly. It's very similar, and it's great. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's the same kind of, like I said,
yeah.
we were talking about being entertaining before, and it's along the same lines, and like I said, anybody that hasn't seen us or heard of us or never heard our song, I can guarantee, because this happens at every single show we play. I don't see this happening with a lot of other bands, too. I mean, as soon as I get off stage, everybody comes up to me. Everybody wants to talk to me. And the most comment I hear is, that was not what I was expecting. And
awesome.
Yeah.
Then they're like, wow. And then they say the line that I said earlier. They say, you know, this is not the type of music that I would listen to, like, normally. They were like, but I loved this. And then all of a sudden, there's your new fan. And that's what I'm trying to say. We're a very likable band. Don't just take one look at it and be turned off or say, oh, I'm not going to like it because they wear makeup or I think what they do is going to be cheesy. Hey, you don't know that till you actually see it. And I don't think there's been one person that's seen us play live and has been disappointed.
Yeah, well, wait, I can even cut you off on that. I was a fan the first time I saw Demon Boy perform, and I was awed. The show just, like, started and stopped. It was so quick. It was an hour show. But it was just so quick, and it was so awesome, and I was enchanted with them from the first time I saw them.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Right.
Well, we hear that a lot, too. Our show's so exciting, and people don't realize, like, our show right now has been 1 hour. We're now stretching our show out to be close to 2 hours because people say the same thing. They're like, oh, my God, you guys – they don't realize after an hour we're off, and it feels like what Yazina just said. It feels like they've only been watching us for 10 minutes, and they want more. So we decided we'd make our show twice as long now because it's so exciting that you just keep wanting. Well, you almost don't want it to end, and it's a real good comment.
That's basically what Rocky Horror was. That's basically what Rocky Horror was. It was a musical show.
Yep.
It was just amazing. You're amazing. I'm a big fan, and I have to repeat. When I first heard and saw Demon Boy, when you sent a friend invite, I thought, oh, my God, he's over the top. He's over the top. And I'm sure that's, like, what you get at the end of the show. Because now that I hear you, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's really great. He's really
good. I had one guy come up. We did a show in a bar where as soon as we walked in, the whole band member turned and said, oh, my, I don't think we're going to go over with this crowd. We were doing a special, it was a cancer event for a friend, and we were just hired in as the entertainment. So the people there was a very mixed crowd. They ended up falling in love with us, and one guy comes over as we're packing up the gear, comes over and shakes my hand, and he goes, you want to know something? He goes, that was the most exciting thing I've seen in the last 5 years.
Exactly.
And to blow people away like that, and, you know, it's like we bring an arena-sized show into these small clubs, and that's what people have seen us will know is true. We give a gigantic – it's like seeing Kiss. We put on such a big show. You get your, you know, money's worth out of one of our shows.
Right.
Yeah, that's why it reminds me of raiding the Rock Vault at Las Vegas Hilton. You know, Scott, Howard Lee, Michael T, all those people paying.
Nice.
But the thing is that it's a show. It's not just, you know, they're playing and they're fantastic, and then they have special guest spots in there sometimes.
Exactly.
But it's a show. And,
that's
and it's,
what we
and,
do.
And it's, and it's got, you know, going through time. All they've got, like, actors that act out these little scenarios, you know, and then they play.
We got reviewed by a guy, and he said Demon Boy's concert is a series of short horror vignettes because each one of the songs has a specific theatrical theme to it or some prop or something that I use, and we segue, and it's not just stop the song and then some mindless chit-chatter in between. Everything I do in between the songs is also staged to be part of the show so that you're brought in from the beginning and you're brought through a story up to the end of the night. And we usually end the night, Little Red Riding Bitch is one of the fanfare songs at the end of the night because it's a long song. It's an epic song. Yazine is on stage as Little Red. We have a wolf come on. Woo-hoo! And then, you know, there's all kinds of interaction there. And then we do one more song and end off the night. So,
and he gets to cut his head off.
Yeah, we get to kill the wolf. We get to see the wolf get his ass kicked and get killed on stage. So, you know, I just try to...
I guess you guys aren't Team Jacob, huh?
You know, what's so funny, the other day, I all of a sudden I noticed somebody put me on some website for goth guys, and... it was a Glamour Goth Guys, and I'm looking, and somebody writes me, and they said, hey, Demon Boy, look two rows under your picture. It's Tyler Lawton from those movies. And there I was on the same page with the guy on this website, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The fact that somebody put that on a goth guy's website, oh, Jesus.
I know, it was weird, you know. They had all the cool people on there. They had a singer from the Black Veil Brides was in there and stuff. But, hey, I was like, hey, look, I'm running with them guys. That I'm all good, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, cheers.
I think I'm being a little bit more of, with my image, like, I walk like a fine line. I want to give the, obviously, our audience is predominantly female, but I like the guys to want to like the show too. So there's a lot of toughness and badass about the performance and when I'm on stage singing the songs, and the guys love it because they can rock and they can bang their head and they can really get into it. And then we got, you know, the sexiness, and that's all for the ladies, you know, because of, you know,
yeah,
I love the ladies.
Yeah, I need some t-shirts that say I want to do Demon Boy.
That's a good one.
That's the t-shirt that Miley Cyrus is wearing as she's twerking the Demon Boy on stage.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, I was just about to say, hold on a second, because I got a text from somebody. They wanted to know, so what's the story on, like, you know, all the girls, and they want to know at least some groupie stories. You know, you got to have at least a couple.
Well, I don't know if I got any really great, great stories. I mean, yeah, I get my share of stalker girls. That we got a huge following of the girls. You know, I really got nothing too crazy about because I'm kind of good at diplomatically handling all those situations. So I have nothing off the top of my head that I could spring on you. Guys, I noticed we're getting down. Are we getting down to the end of the show? Do you want to try to get Little Red in before the show gets cut off?
Let's try to get Little Red in.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say also before that, just to let everybody know, if you missed the show, you came in late, you can catch us later on. There's an archive, and if we actually go a little bit over time, it gets archived too, so it's okay.
Oh, nice.
But so you know, that recording is going to be available, so you guys can actually download, you know, whatever else, those people who have been on here that have been calling in and saying whatever they can, you know, save their little memory.
Or if they couldn't listen to it on their phone or whatever, you know, you can download it and listen to it all you like.
I'll repost out the show tomorrow as well for the fans that couldn't tune in tonight.
Okay.
Then I'll
I'm going to post a photo with me wearing I Want to Do Demon Boy.
Yeah, definitely do that. Send me that.
And
I'm
going to
call my marketing company right now and start getting work on that T-shirt.
Okay, I'll have it made by tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, this song's going to be over time, but it's all good.
You better watch out for a dream that might
Everybody that tuned in, my Facebook page is absolutely going crazy. And
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
Thank you so much, Lorraine, and everybody. Damien, Darcy, thank you so much for having me on the show.
We lost Darcy, actually.
We lost
but
Darcy.
But we're still recording. Yeah, we're still recording. Like I said, we're down to four people are still on here. We lost Chris. Thanks, Chris, for calling in, and et cetera, by the way.
Thank you for the show.
And,
thank you for the invite, Demon Boy.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, thank you to everybody.
You know, I want to thank all those people there. Let's go over real quick and add that little busking thing for your show that's coming up. We're just gonna plug all your crap as much as possible right now, so you can get that.
Okay, so basically, so you want me to run through it?
Yeah, run on through it.
Okay.
One last time.
Okay. Next weekend. January 17th, 18th, and 19th, you can see me along with Rich Orth doing signing autographs and meet and greet at the Macabre Fair Film Festival in Rockville Center, Long Island. That's 3 days you get with us. Then the Demon Boy 2014 concerts start February 22nd at Evenflow Rock Club in Bayshore, Long Island. We'll be in New Jersey immediately after that at the Blue Room on March 1st, and then the rest of the tour dates are posted on ReverbNation.com and on www.demonboyband.com. And the whole tour for the rest of the year will be up by about mid-February. We're not posting it just yet because everything's still being booked, but that's where you can see it. Everybody go watch the Ravenous video. Go to my YouTube channel.
Amen. And plug Demon Boy at clubs near you.
Yes. Everybody, get to the clubs, get to the owners, and demand to see us. Have them get their talent buyer and their booking agents to contact me so we can work out a deal. And we'll try to get to every place that everybody's been asking me to come to. We really want to get out there to everybody. We really want you all to see this show.
We want it on the West Coast.
Sweet. We're good. I want to be on the West Coast.
You just got to come out here and play somewhere in L.A. You got to go play the Rainbow Room or something, I don't know, which that's why I was saying before that it would be appropriate for Alice Cooper to call in, because he did start Hollywood Vampires, by the way.
Wow.
Also, you got to remember, everybody, buy Cannibal Diner.
Yep,
it's just so
Cannibal Diner.
You can hear the song on...
buy your CDs from the musicians.
Yep, go buy my CDs. And the music coming.
Supporting the artist.
New music is on its way. There'll be a couple of new songs coming out over the next couple of months, so just keep an eye on that too.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back and add those to the collection here to play it and for you. And also here, let's see, if you're doing a movie and you want somebody on the soundtrack, get Demon Boy up.
Yes, that's right. We are taking offers on soundtracks. Like I said, I got three movies we're working on this year to date, and there'll probably be a few more. So yeah, anybody that wants to book us, work with me in any way, shape, or form, whether it's the video game, the comic book, the concerts, the band, I mean, you name it, I come and I do personal appearances. So anything you want to book me for.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, when I heard your song Little Red Riding, you know, I thought of, do you remember those cards that have those funny monsters on them with the little slice of gum?
Yeah.
It would be great to see you on those gum cards.
Actually, there's a lot of ones. You got to do Demon Boy, Demon Boy cards like that. But you should do, I would add a video to your, you know, if you're going to put out a CD that you're going to put with the Demon Boy comic book, you might as well add a video to it to take up the extra space.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. There's so many options for us to do things, and I want to do them all. And I'm sure it's just going to be a fun ride this year. And I want to thank all the fans for supporting us and the radio station Raven's Nest Radio. You guys are fantastic.
Woo-hoo!
This has been such a great show tonight. I'm sure everybody had fun.
I did.
Oh yeah, just remember to remind everybody that on your page that if you think it's over, if you were listening to it tonight and you thought it was over, download it.
Gotcha.
Go back and check the archive because, you know, this little extra part is still being recorded. And we're going to play, you know, on the way out, we're going to play, you know, I Kissed a Dead Girl for you at the same time.
Awesome.
That way, you know. But if you want to take off, it's okay.
I'm going to head out right now. I got some people just came in. I got to do some work right now. So I want to thank everybody. You have a great night. All right, everybody?
All right. God bless.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
So long.
Take him out there, you boys. Goodbye. Have fun. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, keep the dead girl.
As a lady, because I did not understand what your full name was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening to the song. I don't want to. I'm Lady Sonya Lorraine.
Okay.
Very simple.
Spell it out.
L-A-D-Y.
S-O-N-I-A-L-O-R-R-A-I-N-E. It's a province in France. And it's Lady Sonia Lorraine. Not to be confused with Lady Sonia, the XXXX star, because that's not me. Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of ladies out there. That's the other funny part.
Well, you know what? The funny part is, you know, a lot of people use that name being psychics or whatever, and I am a clairvoyant, but I'm also pedigreed. So it was once Contessa, and there are different houses of our family, so I have the right to that prefix. So
nice.
It kind of worked out pretty good, didn't it?
I guess. But, you know, at the same time, in the vampire community, anybody who runs the house gets to be a lord or a lady.
Exactly.
The house.
Exactly. So, like, is this your chat show afterward, the one that it was my first time on your, was it your radio thing? Paranormal?
Yeah, this is,
yeah.
Occasionally we go over time, which seems to be a lot of the time. But, you know, at any time it's overtime, anybody who actually, like, really listens to the show, they'll notice that when they're listening to the show live, there comes a point where it goes to a cutoff. Once it just cuts off, but it's still recording because it's still, you know, taking the show in. Like, right now, we're still recording. And,
Is it still part of Demon Boy's show? Because, okay, I don't want to take his time up. I thought it was like a chat.
Oh, he's already gone. It's you know, the show that we do is, you know, we usually try and also address, you know, we have people that are, you know, people in the vampire community come on, you know, like.
Okay.
You know,
so your show basically is Raven's Nest, and he was a guest on your show.
Yes.
Is what you're
exactly saying.
Okay, I got you. Okay, great. Well, that's fantastic, and. You know, I'm a vampire. As I said before, I'm not a vampire. No.
Okay.
Do you know where I want to
tell what you're doing, because see, there's ways of saying the word that can go all kinds of about 20 different ways, and
right.
All of them have different numbers.
We're from the Pyrenees. Well, not there originally. We originated in Seoul, and a great grandfather was Theodomir. But we were Goths, and we migrated to the Baltic region. God, I'm giving you all this information. So, yeah, we are related to the one that got the name vampire. What's his name? Dracula. We're related to the Vlad the Impaler.
Okay, Dracula is not actually a vampire,
well,
by the way.
That's not a real name, Bakuya. But we were related to the one out there. You know, I don't know much about that. I just know that he's tied into our bloodline. And, some of our family were in Orden the Dragoon. It was the Order of the Dragon. The Knights of Calatrava. So,
Which is real popular right now. There's also houses that are centered around the Order of the Dragon, or that they're...
Yeah, Orden the Dragoon. That was the paternal side of my family. But the maternal, they were the house of Borgia, Hurtado de Mendoza, which was originally Furtado, which meant obtained furtively or secretly, and Mandeville and Medici. And then they went further back to Uraca, and that meant Raven, and then it went to Bran Fendigade, which was my great-grandfather, and that also meant Black Crow or Raven. So it's pretty interesting maternal bloodline. But as far as vampire stuff, I don't know. I do know that what it stems from was nampire or nampire. I think it was the prose of Edda or the poetry of Edda. I can't remember. There's something else. But it was Celtic, and I get corrected to say Celtic, but that's a Celtic Celt, which is the scripture. So I say Celtiberian. And so pyre is like... the phoenix, you know, it's the pyre. It rises from its ashes. So it was given to the chiefs of our tribes as a like an award or like a special title. Like Aid Edward Marr, M-A-W-R, something M-A-H-R. That Marr was not a name, it was a title. Same with the Pyre. And then Pyrenees, most people don't know, just means Nay of the Pyre, which means of the Pyre. Did you know that?
Well, speaking as a sanguine vampire and doing a lot of research on going way back, the word vampire itself is a little, it's got a cloudy vision as to where it actually really comes from. A lot of people believe that it's possibly, you know, spreading off from the Greek. Or, you know, but at the same time, you know, you've got Upir, you've got Uprishi, Vampire, Vampire, you know, there's a long list of actual vampire words, but at the same time, a lot of people will say that this is something that's been around for a lot longer because in different cultures, vampires have been around, or vampire-like, you know, vampire-like beings have been around for, you know, since recorded history.
I was just talking to someone last night because we saw that, or the other night, saw 47 Ronin, and it was really great. But in the specific blood lineage of my family, they had all of a sudden lichen, and it was like, whoa, that just totally blew me away. Like, so many times I would take and rip up my stuff and throw it away, but you can't get rid of it because it's not missing any generation because of who my mother's side was. My father's maybe, but not my mother. And it would go from her to my grandmother who just passed on, and hers, you know, it doesn't stop. And they kept record. And then the one on the paternal, they did keep certain records for the Knights of Calatrava that came from France during King Henry's coronation. So they go further back also, and they have the scrolls. So it's kind of interesting. But as far as you said, a sanguine vampire or sanguine, what did you say? I don't know what that is. Yeah.
Right now you have two representatives of the same coin, so to speak, right now. Well, you got me and you got Destiny. Darcy, on the other hand, is also a psychic vampire. So
right, I've read of the psychic. My major was psychic
and
before.
And it's saying
and
that
those are more dangerous. Yeah, I think the psychic ones are more dangerous because there's nothing worse than the second death, which is your spirit. And I've been around people that
I don't
feel they were energy zappers.
Inspiration of them, I eat them.
What?
They've been on my menu for a while.
Say
but
what?
A lot of times I meet people that are supposed to be psychic vampires, and you know they look perfectly good to eat most of the time.
Right.
So
I'm not going to say anything because I represent. And I can't say certain things. Yeah. But it's interesting to hear what you've got to say. Can you tell me more?
Well, for instance, a lot of times, and this is a lot of cases too, it depends on also individually because there are people out there that are, you know, posing, and they're posing as blood drinkers, and they're posing as psychic vampires, and they're posing as what we refer to as a hybrid or a universal feeder, which is somebody who can benefit from both blood and psychic energy, whereas, you know, half of them don't bother me. I seem to bother a lot of them, depending on the situation. I think it's that they're a little bit more open to me, so to speak, and a lot of times being the fact that, you know, they're the thing was that one of the people told me that all they could see was the predator, essentially, where, you know, their prey. And you know, even though a lot of people are perfectly fine with it, enjoy it, you know, and everything else like that, you know, they're still, you know, that kind of like, I guess it's the animalistic issue or something, and that causes some people issues. I don't know but a lot of people usually feel like there's also an artificial comfort that I create around me most of the time to most of the people that I meet. So usually everybody feels pretty safe, even if they are on the menu. So I don't know. I you'd have to ask Destiny.
Am I on the menu?
She's met me. It's possible. You never know.
Am I on the menu? I just want to know, am I on the menu? Yeah.
Now, the thing about that is you know, everybody...
You might get sick and throw me up, is the thing. Yeah.
You're currently sick?
No, I said you might get sick and throw me up if I'm on the menu. I'm just letting you know.
What's wrong with you?
No, I was making a joke, you know, you might...
Oh, you're saying, like...
You might regurgitate.
Rotten.
Yeah. I'm just trying to disinterest you if I'm on the menu because I don't want to be on your menu.
Oh, no, see, this is the thing, and this is the way, this is a civilized time. People who are on the menu usually are willing to be on the menu.
I met a girl in Pasadena years ago with her canines were like the vampiric teeth, you know? And she paid to have those put in.
I might know that girl, actually.
Her name was Black Widow back then in Pasadena. And so I wondered if also...
Do you
have
know
those
her
also?
Name? No, I'm not artificial.
She was... Pardon me?
I'm not artificial.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
I'm all natural.
Yes. You're all natural. Yeah, that's really great. I don't know what to say to that. I've never met anyone in the vampire community. You're the first person I've spoken to in this community.
Well, technically, you were speaking to me. You were speaking to Darcy. Darcy's in the...
Darcy, hello, Darcy.
Well, Darcy's not here anymore, but...
Okay. So, I'd never heard of your show. I got the invitation from him to hear him on your show.
Yeah,
Demon Boy.
He has some vampire songs and whatnot, so to speak, or... You know, his music, or actually, I think he found me first, and so I said, "Oh, okay." You know, we listened to music, and it's all things vampiric that comes onto the show, essentially, or you know, even if you're like just a show.
My
that
brother
just
had
a show.
T-shirt. Sorry, my brother had a T-shirt that said Jesus was the first vampire. Have you seen that T-shirt?
There's also a book called Jesus Vampire Hunter, but it's not, it the same thing goes with that one. Those are kind of bogus.
Yeah, I just
Christian,
saw that and I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe he was wearing that T-shirt, you know? So I just wondered,
I
since you're a vampire, if you had heard of that.
You have a question?
For you, maybe. Yeah, I was wondering what you were saying earlier about the death of the spirit. Why would you view a psychic vampire as killing the spirit? Is that what you were meaning by that?
There are people that get sick from other people. Like if you have toxic people in your life, there's a saying called cut out the cancer. And it's toxicity because it can actually make you sick. And sickness eventually can cause your physical death. But it's because they're attacking you spiritually, not your body. It's like that Trinity thing. It's kind of hard to explain, but yet you kind of understand it.
No, I get what you're saying. I understand.
Yeah.
Because people can get sick if they're attacked the wrong way.
And I have a lot of clients being a reader. And so I just missed one. I'm going to have to go soon. But anyway, a lot of them see things differently, you know. And when you speak to them, they go, whoa, you know, that's insightful. But they never actually, you know, the Bible to me is like a book of metaphors. And they're picture words, and they help you figure things out. You know, like the hangman is limbo on your tarot. And also, when someone is turned to a pillar of salt for looking backward, they're not going forward, they're not moving anywhere, they're not going backward or forward, they're looking back. And that, to me, is similar to the tarot card, the Hangman. You're not, if you're looking backward, you're not going to get anywhere. So I read differently than most, I think.
I understand combining the two in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And seeing them just methods of providing.
Yeah, and
the
I get churches that don't like me because, and little do they know that sometimes I've got people we're praying. PRA, which is, there are different types of prayer also. There's prayer, and then there's request and manifest. You got to be careful what you ask for because you'll get it. And it might even come a year later and you go, whoa, I remember asking for that a year ago, you know.
Words have power.
I one time wished or prayed, request and manifest is like wish, for someone to meet someone like me. The person drove me flipping nuts within 2 days. So obviously I can't live with someone like me. But, you know, you get what you want. And then there's those who pray, which are, you know, I've got a T-shirt that says, let us pray, P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y. I do merchandise. And there are those predators, and they're always going to be there. And then I get people that say, well, I keep getting the same, doing the same thing, and I bring up about Einstein's doing the same thing over expecting different results, and then I get people who say, oh, you're going to get your karma, and I say, well, I hope so, because I want to learn this lesson so I don't repeat it, the pattern, and what they don't realize is what you sow, so shall you reap, is the repercussions of your actions, not karma. Karma is a lesson, and that's in my book. And I don't make anyone believe
karma,
my
dharma.
Book.
It's dharma.
Huh?
It's not about karma. It's about dharma.
Dharma, yeah, darling. Whatever you use, but I'm telling that people say that to me. And I hear that, and I'm just like, well, you have to break your pattern. You get tested, and you get a final. And then you break that pattern. And then you get another one so that you can be happier in life, you know? But I
don't
love
believe
that
in reincarnation.
Movie.
It's bad math.
I love that. I believe in reincarnate. Yeah, in the same line though. I don't believe I'm going to come back as a cow. You know.
Well, you're not supposed to go backwards. You're supposed to go forwards according to the rules.
And I believe that
everybody wants to take their stuff from there, and they don't follow the rules of whatever religion they're choosing to believe bits and pieces of. I think that kind of eclastic thing is kind of like. It's insulting to whoever's religion it is because, you know, if somebody wants to take some of the stuff from Christianity and they want to niche it with something else, I'm like, you know, it's insulting to Christianity. If it's going to be like Wiccan stuff, I mean, well, granted, though, Wiccan is contrived.
Yeah, a lot of it is made after somebody's death always, even with Swedenborg. You know, it's always somebody died and they're like, okay, let's do this religion on that. I had someone that was, saw a Bible in my room and a musician friend, and he constantly was after me about his atheistic beliefs. And I would leave
somewhere. Atheists
are
asses when it comes down to it because, see, they do exactly what they cry about Christianity doing. Christianity is supposed to share their faith.
They're trying to convert me.
Lies,
they're trying to convert me to be an atheist. Yeah,
because
he would constantly.
If you believe in God, you're dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're dumb because you can't believe in something
that's
else
their
that you don't know about.
It's still a dogma.
A lot of people believe that.
It's still a dogma.
Each person is their own God. A lot of them believe.
Yeah, but that atheist, this particular one, you're right. That's their dogma. It's still a dogma, and. I would, like, leave to go to the restroom. He'd go in front of me. Then I'd go in the kitchen, and he'd go, all these questions. I said, please stop trying to convert me. And he said, look, that's what I'm saying. I'm not a religion. I'm not trying to convert you. I said, the minute you try to make me believe your belief, you become a religion. You know? And
religion is more going through the motions. Spirituality is different.
Yeah. I mean, it was just... It was annoying, to say the least, because I wasn't, do you know what I'm saying?
The other half there is the people that want to, they speak about something without having the perspective And they don't have because they don't believe in something, they have the perspective of believing in nothing. And that is their religion, to believe in nothing. But at the same time, they would like people to respect their right to believe in nothing whilst not respecting the right for other people to believe,
in something. Amen. I love you for that.
The first issue with any argument that I have with any atheist, because it's smarter to be agnostic because at least you admit you don't know, but when you get to being an atheist, you're really an idiot because you think you know something.
You know, my mother said to me she was agnostic. This is getting kind of personal, but she had stated she was agnostic, and I never knew for years, you know. And then my grandmother stated something else, which I won't say out loud. But I mean, that belief system has a misconception also. I've seen people misconceive it.
Well, I think staying open is the best way to learn about truth, really.
Because
if you're closed off to listening, then you're not going to understand the other people.
I'm going to give an example of that. Hey, it's just hate. I was wearing a tattoo suit, and I was on this girl's invitation. I put the same thing like Demon Boy and I were talking about, you know, promoting. And somebody just went on the bandwagon, called me names, called me white trash, that I had tattoos of my life on me. Well, I don't have one tattoo, not one. And I don't judge people who do, and I don't hate them for it. And in fact, I call myself Sci Chic sometimes on some of my sites. But I was wearing a tattoo suit, and the person who had the gig invitation had tattoos, their family, their friends, and their band. But this person was on this bandwagon in this forum of hate. And I just exposed it. I did like a screenshot with my iPod, and I put it out there that this person was doing this for a little bit of time and then took it off, because people have to be careful of people like that. That's his opinion. And because he held it so strong, he hated those who didn't share it.
Well,
that's
and
just
he
scary.
Closes people off in
yeah.
general.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's
as long as they're prepared to get their ass kicked, then, you know, I'm cool with them, you know, trying to push it because, you know, I'm strongly opinionated myself. I have no tattoos and no piercings, and I don't want any.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want them. Have second holes on my ears, and it took me years to get that. But, and then sometimes I'll wear two earrings on that ear, you know, because, like, I have certain earrings I don't ever want to take off. But it took a long time. In fact, it took me a long time just to get my ears pierced, you know. So,
I've gotten my ears pierced 3 times, and I've let them seal the first holes. I don't like having them. I don't know what it is. It just bothers me. So I'm not likely to.
I've done that. I've taken them off at times. I've taken them off.
They're sealed now.
They were sealed. And then they weren't.
I'm not
missing later
anything like that. Those plugs are hideous, by the way.
I don't like those.
I don't know why
they wear those. I have family that have those. I don't understand those, but, you know, I'm not going to hate them for it. I'm not going to hate them.
Well, that's
the
reason they're beating them for doing something stupid, but being dumb, on the other hand, that's a good reason to hate somebody.
Right.
When they're dumb. But, you know, there's a reasonable amount of dumb and whatnot, you know, that goes on. This is the same thing with this kid that actually in Set Life trying to talk smack to me and whatnot. It's like, oh, he just took it. He took it, and he's like, oh, that's so funny. You're calling me a kid. You're being childish and whatever else. I'm like, you know, that's how come you PM'd me, because your butt hurt, because the fact is you are a kid. You're a 19-year-old kid. The amount of money you make doesn't make you any more of a man, especially,
exactly.
Like, in face-to-face combat. I'm going to trash you. I'm like, probably twice your size.
Yeah, I mean, people underestimate they always underestimate. I've been in places where, God, it's really weird. I'm like really tiny. I'm like a size 3, and I have a concealed weapons card, so I'm not going to say whether I have a weapon or not on here. I also took Savat with Sufi Salem Asli, and I took martial arts, knife throwing. And the thing is that, and I'm not saying physically, but also they mentally underestimate you. And when they do that and they're a clique, I always think of them as the hags on Clash of the Titans. Who's got the eye? Who's got the eye? Because they're thinking with one brain,
yeah.
And they got to share that eye between them, the whole clique. They're an amoeba. And I'm a virus. I will speak with another virus and we will multiply, you know, like quorum sensing, we communicate. But I run into people like that all the time, and I have to play dumb. I have to play dumb, and I have to be the village idiot. And the reason being is because you concede, and you know better. Sometimes you have to concede because you know better. Do you understand?
But there's a difference. There's a difference between backing away from a conversation and playing dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should never have to change where you're at.
But you can
mind.
Talk to someone, too, till you're blue in the face and they're not going to get it. It is like a clanging of a bell. In that scripture, it does not state, if you accept Jesus Christ today in your heart, then you will get this scripture. It doesn't say that. It says some will get this and others it will be as a clanging of a bell, period. So
it also
says
he knows his own.
Pardon me, sweetheart?
It also says to ask for understanding, especially if you're not understanding.
Right, you can do that.
You know,
mm-hmm.
In some of these cases,
why are you repeating yourself?
The kid's like, why are you repeating yourself? Because, you know, it's like rote learning. Children eventually learn if they hear it enough.
Right, but you can,
so, you know,
you can learn by habit or
later
you can
on.
Learn by cognition. There are two types. There are two types
but
of learning, by cognition and following
well.
Through on your own instincts, you know?
But not everyone learns from that as well.
No. Some do have to memorize the cards, the word cards. I have twin daughters, and they read phonetically before kindergarten. And now they're older and they're anime manga artists. Woohoo! But the thing is that when I had to go to the school. I was sick, and I had to go there and fight for their rights. The principal didn't want to get involved, but the women did. And I took speech in college, and I took the head of the table chair. They wanted to put me in this little one. And they were out to lynch me, you know? And it was that they wanted the twins to learn by card. This card is in front of the shoe, that's shoe. This card is in front of that, that's boat. But they already read when they were young. One of them did a flip cartoon book when she was 3. I didn't even know it. I just flipped through it. The bunny rabbit's moving. So everyone learns differently. And and that's one thing I learned. So when I do concede or back up or I don't scream till I'm blue in the face. I just caught myself with these girls that are in there. They're older. And they were horrific to me. And I wasn't going to be a part of it. But the thing is that they wanted me to be a part of this drama because of one friend that I hadn't seen for a long time. And I chose not to. So when I left, I blocked the one friend out of my life for a while, for just a short time, like a week or 2 weeks or something, even from my phones, everything, because I wasn't going to play that game. It was a game. And when you're there and you're on their territory, do you understand? You choose your battles wisely. They may have won a battle, but they didn't win the war. They don't even know they're in a war. It's like, time is on my side. Yes, it is. Fallen.
You know, every time
Denzel
I hear that
Washington.
Song, I think of the movie Fallen.
Yeah. That's what Denzel I said, Denzel Washington. And I do that. I remember
awesome.
Once I just touched a highway patrolman on the arm to transfer that energy. I think I was like 18. And I was always getting tickets for going too fast on PCH on a 450 engine Firebird. And it was bright red. So I went really slow on this freeway, and he pulled me over. I go, are you flipping kidding me? Are you kidding me? And he was like,
yeah.
You're going too slow. And I said, you're not going to do this. And I looked right at him, and I touched him on the arm. Now, that would get you arrested by most. But, you know, it's really amazing some of the things you can and do when you know who you are.
That's true, yeah. But you're also, you have to understand that.
But then you can read the situation, and they can read it too. We're human beings. They can read you, and you can read them. And then there are other ones that you can read, and you're going, oh, God, he's a pompous whatever, and, you know, something's going to happen. You don't do it. So that's why I'm saying you concede, and you just handle it another way. And that's why I sang that song.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to handle it.
Well, I pretty much am straightforward with most people, because there are immature people. I actually just spoke with someone last night, a friend of mine going through drama, and I explained some things, and basically, sometimes you may not get what you're supposed to learn from a situation, and you might be at a certain point, but that might change later, and the people who know themselves well enough to be the mature people of that situation can affect them later by making the right choices and by being honest about the reality of things.
I myself can say that, you know, they're like thinking with that same brain, but I myself can say that you think you're past that pattern, but when you're caught up in it and they're trying to catch you up in it, it's still draining, even if you concede and you're around them. And then when you're home, it's like, oh, thank God, you know? You're away from that. And what they don't realize is that they're – you might have been a part of their world for a while, and it was really big and monumental for them to hate you and scream for no reason. No valid reason, jealousies, whatever. You know, we didn't know you. Well, I knew her when she was 12, you know, that kind of a thing. They may have their reasons to hate you, and it's good. You know, if you're going to hate me, but just leave me alone. And then you get home, and it feels really great. But they're still going to find someone else to do that to. Because that's their pattern.
That's an emptiness inside of them.
Yeah. Really. But it's very draining to me to be around that. And then I got home and I was like, you ever see those films where it shows a demon is like darkness and it's pulling at you right and left your body? Yeah. And I felt like that. And I could not sleep. And then someone else there, I did not expect them to be that two-faced and, you know, the lion and the lamb, but obviously two-faced. And, I mean, it was, but they were all people I had only just met because of this one person. And so that one person was the center. And what you
well,
have
any
to do
negativity,
is,
it's negativity
yeah.
directed towards you. That makes sense that it would drain you.
Yeah.
And make you uncomfortable to that degree.
And it does.
I think that works if you're not strong enough, maybe. I don't know, because, I mean...
You know, I'm going to
like
say
that.
Something right
like
now
Jack
you may not
Jeff
like,
says,
but you're a guy.
Training only works
guys
on...
Guys are stronger.
On
I believe guys are
if
stronger.
It's all your personal strength anyways, I think, because there's people with strong personalities and whatever else in general. But, you know, it's like Jack Duff says, transling only works on squid.
Okay, let me put you this way. If they were on my territory, in my house, on my territory, things would have played out differently. But when you're on theirs, you need to know. I read The Art of War, and the very beginning was, What I learned from reading The Art of War is that when you're fighting a battle, right? Do you remember The Art of War? Okay. You're fighting a battle. If you're losing, you join their side and you fight from within, like a virus.
Okay.
You know?
Have you read Five Rings?
No, I've not. What is that about?
Excellent book.
Uh-huh.
It is a means of dealing with people in general. It was written, I think the man was Japanese.
Yeah. What's your name? What's your name?
My name is Destiny.
Oh, I love your name. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. And it basically takes everything and separates it into five base rings, five main elements. Most of the Orient use the elements in their metaphors and whatnot.
The Book of Five Rings is by Miyamoto Musashi. He's also like a... It's a text on Kenjutsu.
It's what? I'm sorry?
It's a text on Kenjutsu and martial arts in general, written by the swordsman Miyamoto Musashi.
I've
like
heard
of the
Five Rings
swordsman
before, but I want to hear about it from someone who's read it. Go ahead.
Well,
yes, we're saying the five rings. And I'm not trying to cut him off.
It can be seen as another means of dealing with people in general. And it basically teaches you how to look at people and how to see yourself and balance yourself. And you can arrange that with them. And no matter what kind of person you're dealing with, there's always a method that'll work.
Right. It's the chameleon in you. You have to switch. You don't have multiple personality, but you have to have the personality to deal with each personality that you're dealing with. You have to make them comfortable.
Sometimes.
You know? But when they're not, no matter what, like these little imbecilic, immature girls, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, there's nothing you can do
to them. That kind of weakens your resolve as far as yourself. You know what I'm saying? If you're conforming to them and who they are and adjusting who you are
to match. I didn't adjust.
Let me break it down a little bit there. This is also a strategy guide, basically, just like Sun Tzu's thing is a strategy guide. There is nothing outside of yourself that can ever enable you to get better, stronger, richer, quicker, or smarter. Everything is within. Everything exists. Seek nothing outside of yourself.
Amen.
That's a quote from the book, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It also says, think lightly of yourself and deeply of the world, and do nothing that is of no use.
Exactly. And, you know, and it was a good lesson to me, Destiny. You know how you said there's a lesson? It was a very good lesson for me because I just I wanted to react to the actions that were equal. And when I left, the one person that turned out to be Two-Face, I said, you know, I'm the scapegoat in all this. I will be the scapegoat. But I will tell you this. As I leave here, I kick off the dirt and turn my back. They didn't understand what I said because we're all at different levels. We're not higher or lower. We're just at different levels, you know? And she didn't understand it. She took it as an insult, and she told them. And sure enough, when I was there again, they wanted to get to the bottom of it, and they wanted me at their house. One of them that I had seen for a long time took me over there, and I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not playing this. I went to walk away. I was like, F this. I'm out of here. And I walked out and went back and just to put my stuff in my car and leave. But they came running over, and their resolve was that to be able to get along with me, they had to then, the person that was gone, they had to make that person the scapegoat. And they blamed it all on this person for their actions. And they wanted me to agree, you know. It was just It was mind-boggling. It was flippin'
kind of
mind-boggling. I'm not used to that kind of crap. I don't deal with
my bunghole, it speaks loud!
Who is that?
That's Cornholio.
It was Damien.
Cornholio?
You can take me, but you will never take my bunghole! For I am the great Cornholio. I have no bunghole.
Good. Good for you. Yeah. So that's it. Destiny.
Yeah.
It's just,
there's a lot of things that people do that are just messed up, but that's just one of them.
Yeah.
Of them
You just have to accept that they're not mature people. If you let it get to you is when it hinders your life.
Yeah, but see, when you're, let me explain. I was at this girl's house, and her roommate was friends with these two across the street. And the roommate was there, and I was just in the mix of something that I wasn't used to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time I went for the holidays, the roommate was gone, and then those two came over again, and they wanted to get to the bar. And they said, why are we discussing this? It's not even a – what are we discussing? I don't get it. See, I don't get it. If something happens, it's done. It's behind you. Get thee behind me, Satan, you know? It's behind you. But you keep giving it life. And
Michael, I think.
Yeah, and they were like, she's like, well, I'm over it also. I go, then why are we here discussing it? If it is over, why are we here discussing it? Because I didn't get it. Honestly, I didn't get it. I still don't get it. I must be really stupid. Because I don't get it. I don't get why she hated me, why she thought I was gay because my friend and I slept together like we did when we were having slumber parties as kids, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know why, because we were sleeping, because she was in a recording studio, why she thought there was something wrong with us sleeping during the day. And I had driven like 2 hours to get there anyway, and then went immediately into recording studio. So, and then I was answering for myself, like just she's asking me why I was still sleeping, and I'm answering to a person I don't even know that came in and got louder than my one friend. And I was like, wait a second, I'm tired, I can sleep. And it didn't mean anything to me because when they went downstairs, I stayed up and slept. Do you understand? So it really did not make a difference to me. Except that she was yelling at my friend and asking her to answer for herself and try to do it with me. And I was like, whoa. Nobody does that to me anyway. But and then I went to sleep.
Well,
but
make sure
then,
that you're
then I went
hurt.
Out to do put some stuff in my car because I don't deal with that crap, Bungholio or Kungholio. And then they came back. She came back across again, but this time with her friend, reinforcements. And it was nighttime, and she says, good morning. And I didn't even dawn on me what she inferred by saying that till later. You know?
Mm-hmm.
My brother would make fun of me and say, well, takes a while for the penny to drop for me. Because I don't get it. I didn't get it at first. I still don't get why she was, you know, like that. I don't get it. And the other one said, well, they're my new friends, and blah, 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 and they're jealous and whatever. And I'm like, well, nothing is worth that. Nothing and no one is worth that drama. And
I am the great Cornholio. You have awakened my bunghole, and now you must pay. The streets will flow with the blood of the unbeliever.
Wow, that was louder than normal.
Yeah, but so we give him the floor because he deserves it. But, so that's kind of weird, and it messes with my whole energy. Maybe I'm a control freak. Maybe I like to control my world, but it's in what he just read. what's outside of us. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like I have someone staying with me now, and she's like, and I tell people, I go, you know, when you, they watched my house while I was gone. She had friends over. And I was like, yeah, when I came back from that drama, I was like, oh, my God, I go, I can't handle this drama. I couldn't. I was like, you know. And I said, well, I was gone. Who knocked on my door? Who phoned? Not, you know, one person did because someone passed away. But that was, oh, no, that was the time before. But this last time, no one, no one. And the person who was staying with me, someone knocked at my door. And she went to answer. I go, no, no, no. I don't answer my door. She goes, but if it's, I said, no, I don't answer my door. I don't care if it's someone I know. I don't answer it unannounced. This is my space. And that's all I have. It's my, you know, it's my own personal space. And I if they phone first, oh, I'm going to come over. That's great. But, you know, if I'm used to a person dropping over all the time and that's their pattern, that would be different. Do you know what I'm saying? But if they don't and they suddenly show up, I don't.
No, my mother is the same way. She does not like people showing up unannounced.
Exactly. And I've got like a really long driveway. I can fit 10 cars on each side of it. That's just the driveway. So, I mean, and then it's blocked. You know, they have to take down this chain thing. And so they'll walk up that thing. So they really have to. But I don't know what they want, and I don't want to discuss it. I might not be in the mood right then. I might, you know, be chilling out, just relaxing, and I just no. But she was like jumping to go get. I go, oh no, 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 I don't do that. But so a lot of people are in the habit that someone knocks on your door. It's like Pavlov, you know, ringing of the bell. You must run and answer it. You must let them in. No, you don't. I don't even like welcome mats, you know, because you invite
people. You definitely have to go to the door and see who the hell it is knocking on your door so that you can be properly mad at the right people.
That's really bad because I don't even look. Sometimes I'll be able to see when they get to about this far on the driveway, it's River Rock, and then I can look out and maybe see who it was. Yeah. But I generally think that if it was anyone important, or if it was